about. You gotta put it in
perspective. The Sunflow Pineapple Company presents the authentic Hawaiian music of Sam Weisskopf and his romantic islanders.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Ain't nothing wrong with having relations. Don't be ashamed. That relations is beautiful. When I was young, I used to always have relations. Every night, if a nice gentleman bring me flowers and candy, take me to a movie, show me a lovely evening, then I would take him home and give him hot, lovely relations. Relations is a beautiful thing. Ain't nothing to be ashamed of, especially to young people. You know, sometimes when I'm alone, I relate to myself.
And now,
coming to you live right here in beautiful Los Angeles,
our feature presentation.
Good morning, everybody. It is a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's 5:36. It is Thursday, the last day of July.
How was Sharknado?
Sharknado 2?
Yeah.
Beautiful. It was beautiful.
Was it?
It was every bit as craptastic as the first.
Well, excellent. That's what you want.
Couldn't have been sadder. Doing a little traveling this week. Was in a location with no sci-fi channel.
Oh.
Slingbox couldn't make it work for me last night. Made me very, very sad. And I just felt like I missed Christmas. I just felt like everybody was having the time of their lives. Like the whole family went to Magic Mountain and I stayed at home. You know what I mean? That's what it was like last night.
I'm not positive it was Christmas, if that's what you're asking.
The world was enjoying Sharknado 2, the second one. I was not.
Yeah. It was strong.
What was your favorite part?
Oh, what was your favorite part? How do you guess that? Probably when Tara Reid was on an airplane flying to New York and a shark flew into the cockpit and then in through the plane.
Yes.
And then she was shooting at it with a gun and then it bit her hand off.
How did she have a gun on a plane?
The sheriff, the sky marshal, whatever.
Oh.
He tossed it to her. Here, shoot. Boom, boom, boom. She shot it like 3 times and then it bit her hand off. And that was in the first, I don't know, 10 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah,
that
it was
sounds
sweet.
Amazing.
It's craptastic.
Amazing. Lisa, you didn't watch it?
I didn't.
What were you doing instead of watching Sharknado 2?
Kind of anything else.
Come
on.
Oh,
my God, Lisa. How could you not?
It's terrible TV.
Yeah.
But beautifully so.
Yeah. So sad.
I loved it.
Anyway,
they'll play it again, I'm guessing.
I think so, too. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, real quick story. Whitey sucks, right? I think we can all agree on that.
Whitey Bulger?
No, white.
Just in general.
Well, white people.
I'm very, very down on white people today. Very down on white
people. I think all
people
have elements that suck.
But seriously, though.
What is up with Whitey?
Here's a story out of Brazil. I love these stories, and I want a full-time documentary on this people. They just found another previously uncontacted tribe in the jungles of Brazil.
Okay.
Now, these are people sometimes who have been in there for 500 years, 1,000 years, with no contact with the outside world. They are living like cavemen, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Aborigines.
And probably doing just fine.
Look at the pictures. I mean, they're naked practically.
Yeah.
It's just people with spears. That's all it is, with like little thing around their junk. That's all. Well, they came out of the jungle because Whitey went in and started clear-cutting their land and gave them the flu. Because they have no immunity to anything, you know. So imagine how sick they must get all the time. So they come out of the jungle and they have all these, you know, these terrible stories of white people coming in and shooting at them to move them off the land so they can clear cut. Drug traffickers also looking for things in the Brazilian rainforest because there's all sorts of plants and stuff that you can turn into drugs and stuff like that. At first, they were afraid and wary, but thankfully in the end, they understood, believed us, and trusted the medical team and accepted the medicine. But it was a difficult and slow dialect. Apparently, they do have a language that is similar to other languages in Brazil, so they were able to find someone who could speak well enough with them to try to translate.
It's fascinating to me that there's anybody anywhere that has never met people.
Yes.
You know?
And you see stories like this once every couple of years. You see a non-contacted tribe. Listen to this. If you're a non-contacted tribe who has very little knowledge of the world out there, and what you see is people coming in, stealing your resources, scaring off the game that you rely on for food, and dangerously wielding firearms, it must be an incredibly frightening experience. Can you even imagine what that must be like for them? It'd be like us waking up and finding a whole alien civilization living on the planet that we didn't know anything about. It would just be the weirdest thing in the world. So no word on whether any of them are hot or not. But I
that was the most important part.
I was.
Now I hate Whitey.
This one.
I was fascinated with that. And it just makes me sad, though, that their first exposure to the outside world is just a bunch of a-holes who are in there trying to ruin their lives. And like you said, Lisa, I bet they were perfectly happy in there in their own little insulated environment.
And they can never go back there again.
They can never go back there again. Right, exactly.
There can't be many left the way they're clear-cutting.
They didn't need that.
No.
Right?
No.
Don't never, ever trust Whitey.
That's great advice, sir.
It is. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
It does not have to be this way.
It does, because we're going to talk to James Gunn, the director of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, awesome.
That looks so good.
Yes.
We also have highlights of Sharknado 2.
Can't wait.
For those of you who missed it.
See, that's why I didn't watch it. We have highlights.
See, you enjoy it better hearing it on the show.
Lisa, you didn't want to watch it. You might after you hear the clips.
It's not for me.
That's true. Simon Pegg will be on the program today.
He's for me.
Love him so much.
Yeah. Love him so much, too.
Andrew Siciliano.
Love him so much.
Be on the show. Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Be on the show.
Take him or leave him.
Take him or leave him. So that's coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
Hey, we need some ladies who have nothing to do for the next 10 minutes.
Hey, ladies!
Who can give us a call right now for a Kevin and Bean scientific survey. I haven't done one of these in a while, but we need our audience's help. We're trying to decide something. But this is a specific problem and conversation that we need the ladies' opinion on. So if you're listening to the program, you want to be part of a Kevin and Bean Scientific Survey, girls, just give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. We'll explain what the topic is and talk to you about it right after the top of the hour. First, though, hey, it's Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat.
It sure is. Hi, boys and girls.
Hey, Ralph.
Sad news from the world of Hollywood. One of the legends of show business, a renowned godfather of makeup, as he was known, Dick Smith, has passed away. Passed away at the age of 92. Smith was a legend in his field, pioneering an astonishing number of different makeup techniques and trickery. He was the king of special effects makeup. Probably best known for his work in his first big job, which was The Godfather. He took a rather young Marlon Brando and turned him into old Vito Corleone in that film.
Yeah, how old was Marlon Brando? He was like 35 and looked 60, right?
Yeah, he was, I think, 40-ish at the time, but they made him look 60
incredible.
Initially, and then aged him to almost 75 in the
incredible
course of
makeup.
And he was the king of making special effects makeup look natural and being able to play it off and look absolutely real in the camera, which was a rarity at the time. He invented all different kinds of processes that were really paved the way for other special effects makeup artists, like legendary makeup artist Rick Baker said today how sorry he was that his mentor had passed away. Also known for The Exorcist, turned sweet little Linda Blair into a demonically possessed little girl. And just the list goes on and on. A lot of great special effects work in altered states. And he did a lot of special effects in terms of wounds and loss of limbs, like in The Deer Hunter and in Taxi Driver. He was very talented.
Jeez, did he work in any good movies?
He really was sort of the
list.
King. So sad news that he passed away. When I was a kid, I had the Dick Smith Hollywood makeup kit.
Huh.
They used to buy it. Like, you know, you would buy like a magic kit when
right.
you were a kid. Dick Smith put out the Hollywood magic makeup kit.
Did you used to do that to your friends? Put makeup on them?
And myself, yeah. They would have little molds where you could pour this liquid latex into it and make false noses and chins and bullet holes and things like that, and you get to use it. So I have fond memories of Dick Smith. Passed
and he's got a wooden hand, if I remember
that's
correctly.
That's right, yes. They were amazed he could do so much good work because he was also working with a wooden hand, which made it that much more difficult. Well, I don't know to believe this or not. Do you think maybe Jay-Z and Beyonce are splitting up?
I know the tabloids are running with that right now,
but
it seems to be
story.
Based on very little, though.
New York Daily News says that although Beyonce and Jay-Z are on tour together all summer, and they're trying to make it appear as if everything's okay by putting out a lot of staged photos showing how much they love each other, they are claiming they've got sources that tell them the marriage is over, and once the tour ends in September, divorce proceedings will begin. Beyonce has been spotted looking for her own apartment in Manhattan. Maybe that's part of the reason for this
But that's the kind of couple that's so rich that they probably have properties all over the place. You can't read anything into buying another.
I'm not saying they're breaking up.
You just did. You said they broke up.
I'm saying the story is out there that they're breaking up.
I'm just having conversation.
I don't want to have conversation.
They're coming to town Saturday, I think. To your house? To Saturday? To your house? No, to the Rose Bowl.
Oh, wherever they're playing. Wife saw them last night. Said they were unbelievable. She said they're the greatest actors in the world. If they're divorcing and not getting along, they could not have looked more crazy in love.
Yeah.
Reason behind the split, according to the New York Daily News, once again, Jay-Z cheating on Beyonce.
Hmm.
By the way, if Beyonce gets cheated on, Lisa, just give it up. Right?
Oh, my God.
Like all women, what, really. All
life or what? What
She's
is she supposed to give up?
Just give up the hope of a faithful spouse. That's all I'm saying. If Beyonce gets cheated on, all women are doomed.
Well, women are doomed because they have to be with men. That's why they're doomed.
Yeah, that's true.
Khloe Kardashian says she knows what the perfect social media post would be. She tells Us Weekly magazine, everyone would want a selfie with Jesus, right?
What?
Everyone would want a selfie with Jesus.
Probably.
If I was able to pal around with Jesus, yeah. I think I would probably fill my time with,
a
lot of other things before I got to the selfie.
Well, selfie is the height of what you can do in the Kardashian family.
Yeah. I know. That's what makes me so sad that it's her perspective. Like, when she thinks Jesus, she's like, oh, I could totes get an amazing selfie with him.
Why are people still paying attention to what they're saying?
But why can't we just take them out? Why can't we stop them?
I mean, we have drones now, right? It seems like we can get away with it.
You can do. And this is a movie I would see. They are apparently making a biopic about legendary adult film star Vanessa Del Rio. Vanessa's still around, 62 years old.
Hmm.
She was a big star back in the early days of VHS home porn. She was sexy as hell, born in Spanish Harlem. She was a computer programmer.
What?
Computer program in her 20s, quit her job because she said she found out that through a friend that they are paying porn actresses $150 a day, she said, which was exactly half my rent. And so she jumped from the low-paying computer programming gig to the high-paying sex on film gig. Made 100 adult films in 25 years, and they say they're going to make a serious biopic about her life and legend. I find biopics about porn stars always disappointing.
How come?
Because you never get to see the thing that they do best. It'd be like making a movie about Jackie Robinson, and you never really quite see him hit a baseball.
Never see any baseball footage,
You just sort of see a distance. You see him in a ballpark, maybe getting dressed in the locker room, then walking down the field, and then they cut to the showers after the game.
Hmm.
Like, I need to see him. You don't do the James Brown biopic and not have him sing, "Hugh!"
And do that dance.
And do that dance and everything. So you never really get the full Monty, as it were. I want the money shot, I guess is what I'm looking for.
You do.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Mavericks owner Mark Cuban is 56 years old. Author J.K. Rowling is 49. Wesley Snipes is 52. Always bet on black. Don't forget that. Mm-hmm.
Powerful beard in The Expendables 3, by the way. Powerful beard.
Will Champion. Coldplay drummer. 36 years old. Actor B.J. Novak is 35. And Rico Rodriguez, you know, from Modern Family. Manny.
Oh, I love Manny.
Little Manny.
He's great.
He's 16 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:08.
That should wake up the nation right there. Right? That should get them going, right?
Scare the hell out of everybody.
Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show for a Thursday morning. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network on today. It's never too early to start talking about football. Also, Dr. Drew on the program today and actor Simon Pegg. It's all coming up. Our show is not for everybody, you guys.
Yeah, that's very true.
And we appreciate everybody who listens. And every once in a while, it's interesting to get an email from somebody who is not a regular listener,
mm-hmm.
who hears something and has an extreme reaction to it. And I'm not the person who automatically discounts someone's opinion who's tuning into the show for the first time.
Oh, no, I'm that guy.
As who cares what you think, you don't listen anyway.
Right.
It's interesting sometimes to hear an outside perspective because sometimes we're perhaps too close to it and we don't know the way things come across. So I got an email yesterday. We were having a conversation on the air about...
Before you say that, we do need one more caller.
Okay.
1-800-520-1067. We need five callers for a scientific survey.
And you need to be a lady this time because yes. This is a woman's opinion that we were looking for because this email came from a woman. And I appreciate Amanda, who is not listening right now because she said she'll never listen again. I appreciate Amanda sending in this email because I thought it was worthwhile. We were having a conversation during one of Ralph's showbiz reports yesterday about the bell.
Mm-hmm.
The hot bell. How would you describe the hot bell, Lisa, to people who maybe don't listen to the show all that often?
Well, whenever we say the name of a female that mm-hmm. we think is hot, you ring the bell.
Right. And we were talking about Lisa Kudrow yesterday, and I was getting a lot of guff from the listeners about her not getting a bell from a couple of listeners who said she's really attractive. So I brought it up to the room.
You were getting guff?
Yes, I was.
All right.
So Amanda writes in, to whom it may concern. I was listening to the Kevin and Bean show this morning around 8 a.m. I am not a regular K-Rock listener, and I do not intend to listen again. I find it extremely distasteful and embarrassing how the hosts openly discuss the attractiveness of various women throughout their show. Seriously, using a system of bells to show who is or isn't hot? By the way, when she says it like that, it does sound pretty
right.
stupid.
Right. She didn't even make anything sound dumb.
One of the hosts even stated that, shockingly, it is still possible for a woman to be funny or likable even if she isn't hot.
Yeah.
Wow. This content is so lowbrow and so offensive. I can't imagine who would be enjoying this.
Yeah, I don't want her to listen anyway.
Really? I want her to listen.
No, not really.
What's funny is so many women email me and go, I'm fine with the bell, but where's the bell for the guys?
Well, they're just wrong, though.
Well, yes. No, they're right.
They are listening to the wrong show.
They may be right, but that's not ever going to happen.
But it's not going to happen.
Right. I can't imagine who would be enjoying this. Definitely not what I or anyone I know would choose to listen to on a drive to work in the morning. How about we all try to raise the bar on what is considered entertainment?
But wait, why would we do that if she's not going to listen?
Well, I think if you believe Mr. Weatherby in the suits here at K-Rock, every complaint email you get represents literally 10 million other people.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, this is
so
important.
So if
then.
It's 10 million people feeling like Amanda does, then we're in a world of hurt, right?
I think the math may be off on that.
My listening experience left me with such an uncomfortable feeling. I felt the need to write a complaint email, something I would not typically do. I hope you will make changes in the goals of your programming and think harder about the message that K-Rock is sending to its listeners, especially females. Very well written.
Sure.
Yes.
Written note. By the way.
Right.
Yes.
So what do we think about what Amanda has to say?
Well, if I tuned in for the first time, let's say, and that was the first thing I heard, and I extrapolated that that's what happens on this show all the time, I would have a point.
But it is what happens on this show all the time.
I think it's a very, very tiny slice of what happens on this mm-hmm. show.
I agree.
Of course, the bell happens a lot, but I mean, the discussion of who gets a bell, it's pretty obvious, generally speaking, who gets a bell and who doesn't get a bell. So yeah, we don't really talk sure. about it that much.
Very seldom are they on the bubble.
Yeah.
So,
I don't think that's the thrust of our show is who's hot and who's not.
Yeah, thrust. Right.
Yes.
But the extrapolation Amanda might have made is this is just a show that spends all day every day rating women's bodies.
Yes, and we definitely do not do that. And I think we actually are quite respectful of most women.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's funny? If you did
Except
have a
for
bell,
being with the ones that are overweight, but yeah. other than that,
if you did have a bell for guys, none of us would get it. I know that.
That
so,
is true.
That is absurd that we're the ones with
and
the bell.
And would our listener that, well, not Amanda? Listener, Amanda, would Amanda object no. if the second half of that discussion were men and bells?
That's a great question. That we don't know.
We'll All never right. know.
So we heard what Lisa had to say. That is one woman's opinion. Let's find out what the ladies think with this Kevin and Bean Scientific Survey.
It's time for Kevin and Bean Scientific Survey.
So what we do is we take five calls. And mm-hmm. of course, three calls wins. And we can see if it's offensive or not. Now, if it's offensive...
Right. What do we do?
Do we take action?
Oh, no. Absolutely not.
Right, I agree.
The bell is not at risk here. It's
I
not
agree.
Like if it's offensive, we're not going to do it anymore.
Right.
We just want to know if you think it's offensive.
We just need to know how offensive it is.
Okay.
We're going to keep doing it. All right. Let's start with Amber in Burbank. Hi, Amber.
Hello.
You are part of the jury here. We're looking for the female opinion on whether the Kevin and Bean hot bell is offensive or not. What say you?
Absolutely not. I think it's all in good fun.
There you go.
And I think that anybody that thinks it is offensive probably would not get the bell in the first place, and they just feel bad.
How much do you listen to our show, if you don't mind me asking?
I drive overnight, so I listen every single morning.
Wow. And do you find us sexual Neanderthals? When you listen to us, do you feel like we degrade women?
Not even a little bit.
Do you find us Adonises?
Not even a little bit.
I'm just
All
kidding.
Right, Amber, we put you down for not offensive. Thank you
Thank
so much
you,
for
Amber.
Calling. We really appreciate it. Who's next?
Let's go to Melina in Riverside. Hi.
Hey, how are you? Mario.
We are I'm good. Melina.
Melina, thank you for calling and for holding. You've heard the debate. You've heard what Amanda has to say. What do you have to say?
I think it sounds like Amanda has a stick up her ass, and she needs to get it out because it's not offensive at all.
Not offensive. How come? Why is it not offensive for us to rate women based on their attractiveness?
Well, because you're all doing it in just good fun, and I think people are just too politically correct all the time, and they just... You know, you'd have a good time.
Okay. Yep. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. And the truth is, by the way, girls are awesome.
Yes, girls are awesome.
We
and
love
you do
girls.
Love girls.
So.
And that's the creepy one saying that.
All right. So that's two for not offensive. If one more, then women have spoken,
it's
right?
It's over. Lori, hi.
Hello.
Uh-oh. Spoiler.
Rut-row.
Hi. Can I just guess at what your answer is?
Hi, Lori. What's going on?
Nothing.
All right. What's your weigh in on this topic?
I am not offended by this.
Oh, all right.
Not
good.
Offended. You sounded so upset.
We thought you were so mad at us.
Are you quiet at work or something?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
All right. That's right. You're awesome to call. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen.
There you go.
It is settled.
That's it.
It is settled.
That was Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
Congratulations to Danny Vera from Downey. Got tickets for our breakfast with Arcade Fire, which you will hear tomorrow morning.
I'm worried about Danny. Doesn't he seem like a troublemaker? Like he's the kind of guy we're going to be sorry we invited to the party?
Danny Vera?
Nonsense.
No, I feel pretty – he's a solid right. citizen, I think.
Running out of time, just a few chances left for you to make your way into the Red Bull Sound Space to see us and to see Arcade Fire. Keep listening for a chance to win. Right now, though, the Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air for you at 323-520-AFRO. It's our 24-hour-a-day voicemail. You call us, leave a message, we play it back.
Sort of hard to understand this guy, but the joke, the beginning of the joke is how does a dinosaur pay its bills?
How do dinosaurs pay their bills? With Tyrannosaurus checks.
Why would he...
I don't know, but I love his enthusiasm.
Why would he feel the need to share that joke with the world?
I don't know. That joke, at best, is not funny. This guy is calling for me.
Happy 7/12 Christmas, Dean.
Uh-huh.
You jackass.
Oh.
I made note of that on Twitter the other day, that it was 7/12 Christmas. I was very excited to get home and have our traditional holiday meal. And it's good to see the rest of the world catching up.
Yeah. We all feel the same way, sir. Also, Bean, who loved King of the Hill, he loves Hank Hill.
Uh-huh.
And he loves Weird Al Yankovic. So what does he do with this?
Hey, Bean, have you heard of this before?
Bobby, Al Yankovic blew his brains out in the late 80s after people stopped buying his records.
Yeah, we've played that clip from time to time on the show, and I think it's very funny. Hank Hill maybe not staying current with what's going on in pop music.
Yeah.
He got some bad information.
Podcast listeners, we appreciate very much. I'm not positive that you're going to be able to do this, though.
Hey, I'm hoping that I'm still going to be able to get those tickets to the Festival Supreme. I'm listening to the podcast from yesterday, and they're asking for caller 20. So hopefully in the day and a half since it was live, there haven't been 20 people that have called, and if they're... have maybe a little bit late, but that's okay because I like to sing. Hi, Omar.
Good logic. It usually takes us about an hour to get to 20 calls. I'm sorry, not a day, but about an hour.
Angry dude is back.
Oh yes,
angry at Omar.
Hello, Omar, con artist. Guess what I heard? Your piece of voice. So, Omar, will this be your last time? Your final finale. Great job, Omar. You funny mother.
Why does he hate all of us?
I don't know,
but he thinks Omar is complimenting Omar as being funny.
Right.
And yet still feels like he wants to kill him.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
Every time I hear that name, thanks to Psycho Mike, I have to sing, you feel free. It doesn't go well at work. So, thank you, Psycho Mike.
What did UCL Puig do the other night, Muggs? Did he have three triples in one game?
No, I'm not sure.
He did.
Three triples in one game.
Yeah.
I don't know the history of baseball, but that can't have happened more than a handful of times in the history of the sport, right?
I also don't know what Psycho Mike has to do with that.
Because we do talk to UCL Puig.
Right, that's the thing. I mean, I don't get that. But, well, we talked to Chip not too long ago about being able to find a band. She plays bass.
Hey, I was calling in. We don't need a bass player, but we're looking for just a drummer. Do you know any drummers? Just really fat, bad at their job drummers? You know anyone who plays drums?
No, we don't. I can't think of anybody. That's for sure.
Kev, Bean, Lisa, what do you guys think about Breast Milk Friday? Breast Milk Friday. Breast Milk Friday. Oh, yeah.
That's a terrible
Come on.
Noise.
That is a great noise.
Was he trying to do Matthew McConaughey? What was he trying
it
to do there?
It kind of sounded like that.
I thought he was, because he said breast milk, I thought maybe he was trying to, you know.
What?
Suckle, you know, at the teat, so to speak. It sounded like it, didn't it? Well, I'll play it
well,
again.
At the you end, at the end. But yeah. that, We're that, just mean the voice.
The accent.
Using.
Oh, the
yeah.
accent. Okay.
What is he? Oh, I don't ever want to hear that again.
We knew what that was.
Oh, yes, you stop. Do. Paul McCartney, Meat Free Fridays. Or Mondays.
Meat Free Monday. It's a fun day.
It's his best work since Penny Lane.
And it's happening all around the world.
Hey, Lisa. I'm okay with Meat Free Mondays as long as we keep up with Tube Steak Tuesdays. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Very, yes, I do, sir.
Very attractive offer. Very yes, hard to turn that down.
Tube steak, yum, yum, yum.
I make an occasional error in the words that I say.
What?
Can't wait to catch the arcade monkeys.
Yeah. Yeah, that happens.
Tour bus with pizza. Go see Teenage Turtle Ninja movie. Big Wow.
Wow, we heard from Party Bus Kevin. I love
about that.
Hi there. I'm just trying to recall different moments with Kevin, and I can't find any clip to the Leonard Nimoy big girl Kevin mistake. So if you could just play that, that would be fantastic.
I don't think it was a mistake, by the way. I did it on purpose.
Yes, uh-huh. You did.
But
I didn't know if I would do her justice. I didn't want to make fun of her. I didn't want to ridicule her in any way. I wanted to do her justice and do a decent job.
Didn't know if you had a wide enough angle lens.
Oh, stop it, Kevin.
What was that?
That he had a book out of photographs,
mm-hmm.
and they weren't. I'm sorry, they weren't fat. They were 400 plus.
They were plus size.
And
that was his artistic choice.
And
was
naked.
Right. That was what he was photographing. Yes, but he wasn't. I mean, it's not like he came on to say these are incredibly hot, youthful, sexy, thin women. I mean, he was making an artistic choice. That was what he wanted to photograph. But you. I think upset him a little bit with how fat you thought they were.
Oh, they were. They were equally as fat as I thought they were, maybe more fat.
And that was the last time Leonard Nimoy was ever on the show.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people agree with this next guy as the World Cup just came and went, and it was, you know, seemed like it was a year long for some people, and they're tired of hearing about it. This is I Hate Soccer, the musical.
No one gives a poop about soccer. No one gives a about it at all. No one wants to hear any more about soccer because it's stupid to kick around that little child ball. Hey, no one gives a about. No one gives a about. No one wants to hear about soccer because it blows. Not a sport.
I would pay to see that on Broadway.
Well done.
The great Simon Pegg joins us next hour in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we're going to save you 2 hours by giving you the highlights of Sharknado 2 in about 5 minutes. That's all coming up. First, though, I don't want the Ebola. I've decided that I'm going to pass on when it's my turn. When they pass it around the table, I'm going to say no and decline.
From what I've learned about the Ebola, it does seem like it might be a negative. As you bleed from every orifice and die, and there's no cure.
And I don't think they ask you, by the way, Dean.
Oh, really?
No, I think you get it or you don't.
Liberia apparently is now a country in Africa, and health officials there say the Ebola outbreak is above the control of its government. Our government has declared this as a humanitarian crisis. More than 700 people have died in Africa so far from the Ebola, by the way. Over 300 of those cases in Liberia alone. Several Americans have died contracting the virus in Liberia. Here's the quote that got me. This virus, if it is not taken care of, will be a global pandemic. So that means we're all going to die of the Ebola.
But it doesn't mean you can't have a party song.
Well, there is an upside to the Ebola breakout, and that is that there is a hit called Ebola in Town by a rapper named Shadow Smash. Apparently, it is all they're playing on the radio right now in Western Africa.
If you like the monkey, don't eat the meat. Those are lyrics.
That's the takeaway from today's Kevin Abicho Show. Here's a little bit of that song.
Ebola. Ebola in town. Don't touch your friend. Don't touch it. Something dangerous. Ebola, Ebola, Ebola. Don't touch your friend.
Pretty catchy. Got to admit.
It gets me dancing. I like he says no eating something. What does that mean?
Shadow says the song is everywhere in every town, every village, every county, every home. Radio is playing it. It's in homes. Everyone is taking it. It's like the biggest song in the country. So how does a guy look at this health crisis and go, that's what I'm going to write a song about?
Yeah.
Like, how does that even happen? We asked producer Dave, hey, who can we talk to? And believe it or not, we have Shadow himself on the phone with us from Liberia. Hi, Shadow. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Kevin and Bean, how are you doing?
We're good. Welcome. I mean, congratulations on the song. It seems to be a huge hit.
It is huge hit everywhere you go, in the playing of the radio, in people's homes. Everybody listen to Ebola and it's part of the song.
But a lot of people would look at the crisis in your country and be terrified by it. They would be sad, and it's not the type of thing that it would inspire them to write such a happy, peppy song.
Well, it is sad what's happening in the country.
Right.
But also the party song is a good way to get word to everybody not have more Ebola.
So that it doesn't spread.
Yes. Instructional ways to say people don't eat the monkey.
I see. So if I like the monkey, I should not eat the monkey.
Do not eat the monkey.
Do not eat the monkey. Okay.
No, if you like the monkey, you can say hello to the monkey.
Right.
You can send the monkey an email. You can friend the monkey on Facebook.
Wait, they have email and Facebook?
Monkeys?
Yeah.
I do not know many monkeys.
Okay.
That's what I would do rather than to eat.
Yeah, don't eat the monkey. Okay.
Don't eat the monkey.
Right. Right. Did you have trouble turning the sadness of the Ebola outbreak into a happy song, though? Was it difficult for you artistically?
No, it was not difficult, because I took the idea of the Ebola, mm-hmm. which is terrifying to many people, and I put it to a beat where people can be listening, and then they also be taking in the information that helped them.
I see. So they're dancing, but they're also learning.
That's right. That's what I'm trying to do with this song. It's not make smaller the problem.
Gotcha.
It's to raise the people knowing about the problem.
Now, we are unfamiliar with you as an artist, Shadow, here in the United States until the Ebola song. Is this your first song, or do you have other songs?
I have lots of songs, but this one, the first time big hit for
this
me.
Big hit.
This is your biggest hit so far, huh?
Yes. So it's good to have hit. Hopefully other musics I make now will also be going to in people's ears.
Right.
But once you've written about the Ebola, though, aren't you now pigeonholed as that guy?
I don't think so, because I have had many other ideas and songs that I think also people will like that are not Ebola.
Like what?
I like this song also I make called Hunter Virus. Hunter virus get it from rat poop. Rat poop is not coffee beans. Do not grind it up and make rat poop coffee.
Yeah.
Then you get sick with the Hunter virus.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Hunter virus song. That sure is. It's kind of like your Ebola song, though.
I don't think so.
Really?
I think
it seems
very
similar.
Different from whatever it did say, Ebola song.
I see. All right.
Here's another song.
Oh.
Dysentery is like a chocolate fountain.
Oh, no.
It's like a fecal hurricane.
Oh, no. Stop.
A sharknado of poop.
Oh,
no. I don't want to hear about a fecal hurricane.
Alopecia. You've got a bald spot on your head. So wear a baseball cap. Or spray some of that stuff that colors your hair in, and then the people will not know that you are farting.
You have a lot of songs about the human body just breaking down, don't you?
Scurvy.
Scurvy.
Go ahead and eat an orange. It just means you need some vitamin C. Or try a mango.
Okay. All right. I like it.
Narcolepsy. You fall asleep when you're not tired. Wake up!
Oh, that's a hit right there. Tove Lo, I believe. Tove Lo.
Let's do it.
Happens.
Nope, that's Tone Loc.
That's Tone Loc.
Completely different.
This is different.
That's new music here on the world-famous K-Rock. Highlights of Sharknado 2 coming up right after the top of the hour, then Simon Pegg as well. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday.
Hey, let me give you a little something, boys and girls, because I like you. How about some passes to the K-Rock screening of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yeah!
Uh-huh. That's right.
You woke mugs up.
Yeah. It happens on August the 6th at the Arclight Hollywood Theater. Maybe my favorite movie theater in all of Southern California. You get to see it before everyone else does. On August the 8th is when TMNT is in theaters. Call me now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through get a pair of passes to see the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Is this live-action movie, Ralph?
It is live-action movie.
So people are, the trailer?
Are people in turtle suits?
There is, I believe,
or are they CGI?
A mix of CGI and practical special effects in this film.
Hmm. Doesn't seem realistic to me.
Not sure it's for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you're a Sharknado dude, that's why.
Right,
you're
exactly.
All about the Sharknado.
Keep it to science, that's what I'm saying.
You like the realism.
Thank you.
Speaking of science, AccuWeather.com has stepped forward to address some of the myths versus facts about the Sharknado.
Don't need that.
Couldn't they just say all myth?
Al Roker said it could happen.
What else you got?
Here we go. Myth number one.
All right.
Sharks can be swept up in a tornado and threaten people on land.
That's true.
That is fact false,
false,
Kevin.
False.
The tornado, says the weather scientist, would not have the ability to sweep up marine life. Also, most tornadoes almost always originate over land.
Okay.
So technically, the sharks would be getting swept up into a water spout.
I see.
Except that that would not happen because water spouts could not sweep up sharks either.
Right, but couldn't I have said that? And I don't know anything.
Even if a shark could get swept up by a water spout, it could never both survive in the water spout and also attack humans on land.
Who are you going to believe? AccuWeather or the Sci-Fi Channel?
Myth number two.
Sci-Fi Channel has science in its name,
right,
Ralph.
It does.
Global warming directly caused this extraordinary weather event to occur.
That's true.
That is
true.
Well,
this is not a complete myth. There is some truth to this.
Okay. We're shocked.
Climate change could potentially cause an extreme weather event like this to occur. However, it would have to continue exponentially for hundreds of years to create the conditions that are described in the film.
Hmm. Okay.
And lastly, Sharknado myth number three.
Not true.
An extremely strong hurricane hit Southern California in order to cause the Sharknado in the original Sharknado movie. This is a myth. Hurricanes are extremely rare in Southern California because of the cool water off of the shore. It tends to...
lightning strikes are pretty rare, too, but tell that to the guy who got killed by one this week.
I'm just trying to...
I'm not sure how you would tell him anything.
I'm just trying to express the science. That's all. I'm just trying
That's science.
Just trying to get science. I'm dropping some science.
All the science I need to know I learned on Sharknado 2 last night.
Weird Al is a loser.
Wow.
You better have
those are fighting words for
to back that up with.
Last week, he was number one on the Billboard 100 albums chart. This week, he slides down to number three.
Well, no one stays at number one forever, Ralph.
But he could have put 2 weeks together, couldn't he have?
It's very rare these days to have anyone put it. If you're not Frozen, it's hard to stay at number one for more than a week.
The Frozen soundtrack is number two. Number one in its debut, 5 Seconds of Summer, with their album 5 Seconds of Summer, debuted at number one this week.
Do they have a song called 5 Seconds of Summer
as
well?
I hope they do.
Yeah.
5 Seconds of Summer, with their opening act, Moment of Party, will be hitting the road this summer, so maybe you can check them out.
That's for people for whom One Direction is too old.
Right. Yeah.
5 Seconds of Summer.
And too cutting edge.
Right.
And too jarring.
Yeah.
Too political. Let's talk about good music. Foo Fighters have finished their new album.
That's what I'm talking
about.
That's
great news.
That's what producer Butch Vig tweeted yesterday. He said, the finished product is epic. That's his quote.
What else is he going to say? He's yeah. producer.
Right.
But I bet he's right.
There's no title yet for what will be the Foo's eighth album, but it is due out in November. This is the project, you may remember, that was recorded at studios all over the U.S. of A.
Right.
This was a great premise. Dave and the boys were out there on the road performing anyway, so they would just go to whatever the local studio was in that town, and that's where they would record a song. Dave would write on the road, and they would record a song there and have local musicians come in and guest with them.
One of the songs leaked on the internet. Did you hear that?
No, yeah, I did
new
not
Foo Fighters?
Hear
the new Foo Fighters.
Are you kidding? The new Foo Fighters song that has leaked on the internet?
Yes, from the new album.
This should not be played because it has not been officially released by them.
But don't you want to hear what the new Foo Fighters sound like?
Absolutely.
Ebola. Ebola. Don't touch your friend. No touching. No eating. Something dangerous. Ebola. Ebola. Don't touch your friend.
Different sound for them, I think.
Yes, it is.
We're going a different direction.
Well, that's the influence of the musical history of the various cities in which they recorded the album. I guess that makes sense that they'd go outside their comfort zone a little bit. I like it.
I hate this show. You'll be able to see the Foo's recording this album in their upcoming HBO series called Foo Fighters Sonic Highways, which will premiere in October.
You're a major part of the show that you hate. You know that, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Don't think I don't hate myself. That's how it all started. Today's celebrity birthdays, Mavericks owner Mark Cuban, 56 years old.
Someone asked him this week, he was doing an interview about basketball-related stuff, someone asked him if he would consider running for president. Did you see that?
I did not.
Because he's such a businessman, very outspoken about policies, and he said, hell effing no.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Author J.K. Rowling is 49 years old today. She of Harry Potter fame. She's not even 50, and she's got all of the money in England.
Yeah, she does. Yeah.
Wesley Snipes is 52. Will Champion, drummer for Coldplay, is 36. B.J. Novak turns 35. And Rico Rodriguez is 16 years old today.
That's Manny?
You know I'm part Hispanic, right?
You're part Hispanic?
Could you tell by that,
that
rolling R?
No.
It's a gift.
No.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network for you next hour. Also, Dr. Drew will be joining us and the director of Guardians of the Galaxy, James Gunn. That's a lot of show. I didn't know that we need Simon Peck. That's how big this show is today.
I'll work if you want.
I mean, you're practically a PS on today's program.
Simon Peck is here. We're delighted to see him again.
Good morning.
Here on the Kevin Beach Show. How you been, Simon?
I'm good. It's very nice to be back. I always rejoice slightly when I see this on the list of things I have to do.
Just before you cry? Or
just before I cry.
Yeah. We are so happy to have you, and it's unusual because usually you're coming in going, guys, Friday, come see me in the movies Friday, but this movie that we're talking about today does not come out until September the 19th.
Of 2016.
Right.
That's what's weird.
That's crazy.
That's what's weird. I just want you to put it in your diary, please.
All right.
Write it down.
Hector and the Search for Happiness.
Yes.
Unusual title, unusual movie, actually kind of unusual even for you, this film, right?
Yeah, it's a little more, I wouldn't say it's sort of an outright comedy like the stuff I do with Edgar and Nick. It has a sort of more serious edge at times. It enabled me to do a bit of acting.
Oh.
I'm going to make inverted commas, even
sure.
though it's pointless on the radio.
All right. Air quotes, we call them air quotes.
Air quotes, thank you.
Yeah.
Inverted commas. That's so English, isn't it?
Whenever
you look at the American version of a word and then the English version of the word, it's like looking at something really old and something quite new. I'm so proud of it, and we're getting such an incredible reaction. People are weeping with joy. We did a screening in New York the other day, and a man sort of staggered towards me in tears and said it was the best film he'd ever seen.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, really?
How do you accept that?
I mean, you've seen
in the history of cinema, right?
I know.
Look, like, you can like the movie, but some perspective, dude.
Are you fucking me?
I'll take that, but really?
Yeah.
I saw the movie, Simon.
Yeah.
And I will tell you that it is an unusual topic for a movie because it's handling, in a very funny way, the biggest questions of the world, which is you have X number of years on the earth. How are you going to spend them? And what truly makes you happy? And I found myself in a very thoughtful place watching that movie because
right.
I don't think most people spend the time to ask that question, what makes me happy? I think we get up in the morning and we're on a treadmill.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we continue doing whatever it is we've been doing, and it's very unusual for somebody to go off in a different direction. I think that's that's a useful exercise for us all.
The thing that I found the most with this movie is that people have talked about it to me the next day. When I showed it to people, for friends, I've got emails the next day. I'm still thinking about this.
Oh, that's cool.
I still, and which is the best thing any film can do. A lot of films these days, you'll watch them and you'll, it'll be like watching a firework display, and you'll come out and go, that was good. And then half an hour later, you said, where was I for the last 2 hours?
I don't remember.
And this film kind of, you know, because it is all about what happiness is and, you know, how we achieve it and also what it's not. And we get given a lot of things in our society that says, this will make you happy, eat this and do this and go here. And none of it is really the route to real happiness.
I try to eat this all the time and it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
And your character, you know, on the surface from the outside, people will look at him and go, he's got a perfect life. He's a well-respected doctor. Yeah. He's got a beautiful, you know, girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And he seems to be happy and, you know, and you never can tell what's going on the inside of somebody.
No, the thing is for him is that everything's like satisfactory. And he, outwardly, it looks like he should be happy. Like you say, he has all those things. But that's all he has. And he doesn't know what happiness is because he hasn't really experienced anything else. And the truth is, in order to be really happy, we have to be miserable and scared and all that stuff because that's what we compare happiness to.
Yes, yeah. You need a baseline. You need to find out how bad things can be before you realize how good you have it sometimes.
Yeah, the big thing in the movie is avoiding unhappiness is not the way to happiness.
Now, this film looks like it's fun for you because your character goes on a journey and he goes to China and he goes to Africa and he comes to America. And I assume you went to all those places for reals?
We did, and it was extraordinary. We went to, we started in Vancouver, then we went to London for a bit, Johannesburg, Shanghai, Tibet, LA.
Wow.
Yeah, it was the film, the making of the film was a kind of story.
How much time you spent in China, Simon?
About 3.5 weeks.
And tell me about that. Does it blow your mind?
Do you speak the language? You're learning that amount of time?
Ni hao. Sure. I learned to say thank you. And hello. It's a strange and wonderful place. It's like, there's China that you go and see, and there's all the boutiques and all the usual shops, and then there's China where you can buy a suit for $40 that's made of cashmere. And there's two kind of economies.
By 4-year-olds.
Yeah. Well, no, but like you go to these tailors in these markets and say, I really like this, and they go, hey, I'll knock it up for you in a week, and you pay very little for it. And then, but then if you go and buy something in a high street shop, then you'll pay top dollar, and it's a very odd place.
Just jack it up for tourism, basically, wherever tourists are.
I think the locals as well will rather buy the name brands because of status. It's a confusing place. Everyone there is an only child, 3 generations of only children. So there's no cousins and uncles and aunties, which is strange. So
is there not a big family connection like there is in Japan?
It's hard to say. Everyone, the psychology of the society, and this is a generalization, I probably get told off.
No.
It's kind of like an only child. Imagine a society comprised entirely of only children. Having said that, the local crew we work with there, the young Chinese kids that helped us out, every time we got to a new place, we had a new sort of ancillary crew. So we had all our core crew travel.
Right.
And then we get to a place and all the ADs and the helpers and various assistants would be made up from that country. They were amazing. These kind of really dynamic kids who really wanted to work in film. It was extraordinary. Africa was amazing as well.
Oh, my gosh. It looks amazing. I mean, some of the stuff that you guys shot was incredible. And that must be, I mean, look, you're there for the work and you know, something about this character appealed to you. But what a side benefit to be able to travel and see the world on somebody else's dime.
It was amazing. Amazing. Particularly like South Africa. I was one morning, I was about 6:30. I was drinking a coffee. I was feeling all sort of woozy, ready to work. We were out on a game reserve. And these two giraffes just sort of walked over across the road in front of me. And it was suddenly like, oh, I'm in Africa.
Wow. Don't see that every day.
That's Africa that you see on, like, movies that don't really know what Africa is. You know?
Right. What about the lions in the film? Was that
– Oh, mate.
Were
that
they
was
real?
Scary.
Were they real and were they that close to you?
They were and they were. There were five lionesses. Four lionesses and one male. Lucky guy.
Yeah.
And I was
cleaning up.
I was in an enclosure. He'd have to. And they had a gate down, and these five lions, and there were all these guys with. Because what they did, they shot over me. You'll see this when you see the film.
Okay,
I'm sort of like very close to these lions, and I'm worried about it. And so they shot me, looking into the lion enclosure, and I'm stood there. There are guys with shotguns and tasers, just in case they come too near. If they did come too near, they pull the gate up, so they never had to use anything. They were
okay,
all just.
Okay, gotcha.
You know.
Were you scared to death?
I was kind of thinking, this is all right. And then I looked over, and the crew, the whole rest of the crew, were behind a fence in a minibus with the doors shut, looking out. And it dawned on me when I was stood there, I said, okay, that's if I get eaten. You know, that's an insurance policy in case I die, that they're all waiting there, in case this thing jumps over the thing.
Yeah. Right.
But they were gorgeous. This one lioness came up and picked up an apple box, which is a kind of multi-purpose tool on a film set. You sit on it, you put things on it.
Did you fight it back?
We used it, yeah.
Take it back from it?
Punched that.
Yeah.
Thing in the face. But she picked it up with her teeth, and this was a solid piece of wood, and it just heard her teeth go through it, and she just took it off, played with it. You can have that.
Yeah.
Take it.
Yeah.
We'll get another one. Wow. We can always buy another one.
Yeah. Fascinating movie. Simon Pegg is our guest here on the Kevin Bean Show. The film is called Hector and the Search for Happiness. Make a note of it, because it doesn't come out till September the 19th, but you're definitely going to want to check it out. More with our guest in a moment right after this on camera.
She's good, isn't she, Simon?
I got through
amazing.
It.
Very professional.
What's the traffic like on the way to Subway, though? That could be a problem.
Didn't cover that, did you?
I did not. You're right.
Our friend Simon Pegg in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hector and the Search for Happiness is the movie. It's coming out in New York and Los Angeles only on September the 19th and then wider after that. Unless you people don't go see it, in which case it won't come out wider after that. So go see it. What?
Oh, he's talking to me.
Oh, he's talking
to you. Ignore beer mode.
Simon, what do most people recognize you from on the street? Is it the trilogy or is it Star Trek or what?
It's a bit of both. Shaun of the Dead, obviously, has been around for 10 years. And right. 10 years this year, it came out in the U.S. So that's kind of the one that, obviously, lately, Star Trek and Mission Impossible. But
you stole Mission Impossible. I thought when you were in that movie and you stole it, I was like, we're never going to see Simon again.
He's too big.
Yeah, he's too big. He doesn't have to do our show anymore. And that sucked. I was unhappy.
That would never happen.
Thank you.
I don't know what your goals were when you started as an actor, but did you envision this career?
I did not. I don't know what I envisaged really. I started off as a stand-up comic, and I wanted to be an actor, but stand-up comedy was a way of, you know, having some control over what I did. It wasn't about waiting by the phone like you do when you're an actor. I could actually get out and perform, and I like to write. And then we did our sitcom Spaced, and I met Edgar Wright, and then we were like, hey, I like zombie movies, and so do I. Let's make a zombie movie. And somehow we did. I don't know how. And then, you know, it hit here, and it did really well here, and then suddenly all these doors opened. J.J. Abrams called me and said, do you want to be in Mission Impossible 3, literally? And I was like, okay.
I'm going to have to think about that overnight. Yeah,
what was a weirder call, that or Star Trek?
Well, Star Trek was an email. That was the funny... I love JJ. We get on so well, and we kind of really bonded on the first Mission Impossible. And I think he was looking for a Scotty and wasn't having much luck. And then I literally got an email from him. I landed in London from New York, turned on my phone. It was in the days when you had two phones. You had a BlackBerry and something else.
Uh-huh. Right.
And I just got an email. Oh, JJ, do you want to be Scotty?
Again, I'm going to have to get back to that.
I'm like, what? I phoned him up sort of slightly annoyed. Like, you can't just say that. It's like dinner and a movie, man. Come on. So yeah, and then that happened, and then, you know, one thing leads to another. And we kept making our films as well,
right.
Hot Fuzz and The World's End, because it's important for us that we make our films and have our voice. And we were so thrilled about how America particularly took to those movies and embraced them. So we began to, you know, and Edgar's obviously parlayed all that into a great career. And
all three of you have gone. I mean, what's wonderful is that you get the band back together again, and then you all go off and do things
like
Nick's Tango movie and everything. I mean, you guys can all go off and do something else.
And we will again.
It's just wonderful.
We were chatting. I was in LA a couple of weeks ago, and Edgar and I went for dinner, and we started talking about the next thing, and I'm really excited about that. So
you've done so many different kinds of movies, but this Hector movie seems different from all of them, and I was just wondering if... It was tough for you to get. Was this another one where somebody came after you, or is this something that
you pursued? This is one of those weird LA things. I did a movie, a TV show for Frank Darabont called Mob City, which is a great show.
Right.
Didn't get picked up for a second season. I think it's a difficult show to make. It was a period piece, and it kind of, I think, the network kind of thing, oh, I don't know if we can do this. Anyway, it's a shame because it was really, really good. I did a pilot for the show in which I played a comedian, funnily enough, who ended up getting whacked. It was the thing.
Hey, spoiler alert.
Sorry. I meant hits with a newspaper.
Sure.
And I went to the kickoff dinner for that, and I sat next to two casting agents, and they were like, hey, do you know Peter Chelson, the director? And I said, yeah, he did Hear My Song and Funny Bones, two films I really like. He's casting a movie. Do you want to go for it? I was like, okay. So I met Peter for dinner the next day.
You're stumbling through this entire business.
Isn't it?
It's like, your whole career.
No, I'm like the Forrest Gump of acting.
Yes. Your whole career is I'm sitting next to a guy and he sold me a piece of paper. What's happening?
I don't know. That for me, that's very LA. If I, I, I don't live here because, you know, as I was saying, very few films get made here. You usually go out to Vancouver or New Mexico or Louisiana or London. Every film I've done this year, even the US films, has been in London.
Right.
So despite the fact it's glorious here, it wouldn't make much sense to move here. But if you're here, you are in this kind of stream of activity where things like that happen. You know, you get a job over dinner.
It's a weird weird existence.
Yeah. Is, now that you've done this movie, which I hesitate to even call a romantic comedy because that makes it sound light and fluffy. And
it's not.
Is there a genre or a kind of movie you still haven't been able to do?
I'd like to do something straight, you know. I mean, I didn't start out specifically as a comedy actor. I got into stand-up because it was a way of having some control over my career. And I've done serious acting, and we always put serious stuff in the Cornetto movies. You know, Sean has to kill his mom, and Gary King is an alcoholic suicide. You know, it's not necessarily comedy, obviously lending itself to comedy material. But I would like to do something that is just straight drama, if people will let me.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough.
Because sometimes you see the guy who makes you laugh and they do something serious and you're like, oh, don't do that.
Yeah.
Stop it, Jim Carrey. Stop it, Will Ferrell.
But it's not always a hit. I mean, they're not always good in it. That's the problem. You have trouble getting a good serious role.
Well, maybe the film's not good. I think both those guys are very capable of being great street acts.
And what about all the buzz on this Steve Carell movie that's coming out that everybody's saying he's going to get a dramatic actor
he's
Oscar
He's a fabulous
nominee.
Actor, Steve.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
Yeah, he really is, and he's demonstrated that again and again.
Well, there's some very funny scenes in this Hector movie as well. I want to play a clip. You are a psychiatrist who's terrible? Was it?
No, he's good, but he just doesn't feel like he's doing anyone any benefit. You
Why
know?
Do psychiatrists to answer every question with a question, Simon. You've had therapy. What's the purpose of that?
Well, why don't you tell me?
Nice. Well played.
So your character, Hector, is a psychiatrist, and he's at a party for an event for his girlfriend's work, and a lady comes up and starts having a conversation with him, and this is the light side of the Hector movie, and I think you'll enjoy it very much.
I'm Hector. I'm a psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist? Alors, you can help me.
Oh, I think not.
But I want a penis. A penis.
You mean happiness?
Everybody wants a penis, but you cannot hold a penis.
Yes, sorry. It's elusive. Yeah, you can't touch happiness.
You cannot touch a penis.
She was awesome.
I was thrilled to it with her because, and this is, you know, irrespective of being on the serious sort of grown-up movie, she was in an episode of The X-Files, and for me that was like,
oh,
that was it.
Superstar.
Yeah. Wow. By the way, I can't even believe we haven't even mentioned this. Toni Collette is in this movie.
Oh, it's correct.
Stellan Skarsgård is in this movie.
Yeah.
Jean Reno, Christopher Plummer. Wow. Yeah. I mean, as a guy like you who grew up loving acting, Christopher Plummer, you're in a scene with Christopher Plummer. That kind of must blow your mind.
It's awesome. Except I didn't sort of go the Edelweiss route. I went, hey, you're in Star Trek 2.
Nice.
Well, he's actually in Star Trek 6, I think. But I meant 2 as in 00. That was extraordinary. And I felt like I was quietly happy because I thought maybe they've taken a chance on this guy who's come out of sort of screwball comedies and they've propped him up with these sort of awesome actors.
Right, yeah.
But it's not just those guys. It's, you know, there's Rosamund, Tony, Stellan and John and Christopher Plummer. There's also these amazing actors that came from, like our African actors, Sitandiwe, who plays a woman who I meet on a plane who takes me to her house to have this stew, this amazing stew. She was incredible. And some of the extras who would say, can you just do this a sec, would pull out these Oscar-winning performances. and there's a guy called Barry Atsma who plays my best friend who I go and see in Africa. He's Dutch. And he's like the Brad Pitt of the Netherlands.
Oh, is that right?
So, like, he's the massive, massive star in Holland.
So you know people will see this in the Netherlands.
And they'll go, hey, it's Barry. It was his first English-speaking role, and he's brilliant. And because he has that charisma and confidence, people are like, hey, who's this guy? He's really cool.
Fantastic.
And, of course, Ming Zhao, who is the...
Well, don't get me started on Ming Zhao, because I'm trying to be...
been talking about her all day.
I mean, I need a new computer after what I did with
have so much memory. I don't know where your mind
is. That's all I'm saying, right. She's a very attractive Chinese-born model and actress who is, this is a breakout role for
it's
her.
People are going to be movie.
Yeah, yeah. People are going to be
went
like,
south so fast!
The film is called Hector and the Search for Happiness. It's available for you on September the 19th in Los Angeles in New York. Simon Pegg, stop by.
Thank you,
sir.
Always a pleasure.
Keep listening for your chance to join us for tomorrow's Breakfast with Arcade Fire inside the Red Bull Sound Space. Another chance to win coming up here on K-Rock very, very soon.
soon. Also, Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network will be joining us. And Dr. Drew talking about the latest hot viral video trend, which is setting yourself on fire.
Yeah. Oh, good.
You know,
That's a great idea.
I can guess what he's going to say.
Well, he's a downer, first of all. He's going to be against it because he's an againster.
Yeah, that's true. Let's talk Sharknado 2.
Sharknado 2.
All right.
Full title, of course, Sharknado 2, the second one. I went out to dinner last night, so I taped it.
Uh-huh.
But I was so excited when I got back because then I got to watch it. And it started out strong. It's Ian Ziering and Tara Reid, and they're on a plane, and they're flying from L.A. to New York. And they hit a storm in New York that's full of sharks. So it starts right out of the gate.
That's what you want. You don't need a lot of BS character studies and exposition. Just get me to a Sharknado.
Kelly Osborne is the flight attendant.
All right.
And sharks rip the plane apart. And in the first 30 seconds, I think, Kelly Osborne's head gets eaten by a shark. That happens. And both of the pilots die. And for some reason that's not explained, Ian Ziering runs up to the front and takes over the controls and lands the plane. So this is his call to the tower.
This is Flight 209. The pilots are dead. I see the runway. I'm going to put down the landing gear and aim for it. Clear out the runway. I'm coming in hot.
Yeah!
That sounds very, very believable to me.
Right. So he lands the plane and they're all safe. Now, remember, this is a plane that's been torn apart by sharks in the air.
And a guy who's not a pilot is able to land that plane safely.
And the people who probably still are traumatized don't even remember the sharks, but they politely clap when he lands. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well done. Well done.
Don't shake your head at this, Lisa.
Well done.
This is awesome.
And I'm thinking to myself, what about the sharks that just came and killed people in your cabin? So they go to a weather forecast, and for no reason they start talking about shark winds and shark clouds, and everything has to do with sharks.
We have that southerly shark wind that is going to be pushing all the water northbound, so we could see significant damage to homes that are right along the coast, and then we have to worry about
Not
all
again.
The sharks piling up.
Not again indeed, Tara. Not again.
Well, it's good that they're getting the word out. I mean, I would want to know if there were shark winds.
They went to the weather forecasters, most of which was Al Roker, who I hate, six times to explain how this is possible. And I kept thinking, look, they started in a shark, cloud when they destroyed the plane. It's happening. We don't need to know how it's happening. It just is happening.
Okay.
So Ian Ziering, of course, jumps into action. Mark McGrath is in this movie.
All right.
He's starring in this movie.
All right.
And Ian decides that he's going to take things into his own hands and take care of it.
I got to get a chainsaw.
Chainsaw? There are no chainsaws in Manhattan either. I mean, you really think there's going to be one of those shark storms here?
Yes!
Okay, weapons it is.
I'm also going to need some propane tanks.
Right.
I'm going to need some flares. Yeah. I'm going to need a smoke alarm.
Right.
I'm going to need duct tape, some wires.
Right.
What for?
I'm going to throw a bomb into the tornado. Worked in L.A.
Ben, look around. Insane L.A., bro.
No kidding.
Yeah, Mark McGrath.
So he's going to blow up a Sharknado with a homemade bomb.
Yeah, that's what they did in the first one. Remember, with the helicopter.
All right.
I don't know if you remembered. I didn't.
But it seems like that only takes care of a tiny percentage of
the sharks. No. It takes care of the tornado, the Sharknado. Okay. So then the sharks just fall to the ground and kill everybody by landing on them.
All right. Good plan.
Hey, but that's really sort of the best they can do.
All right.
Matt Lauer, The Today Show, Al Roker, very, very involved in this.
These Sharknados are actually a rare anomaly. While there have been isolated reports in the past of marine life actually being sucked into storms, a Sharknado is much more powerful and a lot more deadly.
I mentioned Los Angeles last year. Anything learned by the situation there that New Yorkers need to know now?
You have got to avoid going near one at all costs.
Oh, you.
Really? Al Roker is doing the best he can to get the word out,
really,
man.
Really? But the word is stay away from a Sharknado?
Yes, I think that's good advice.
Isn't that pretty much common sense? And they go back to him over and over again.
Sharks start falling from the sky, and these sharks could be coming down at 2 inches an hour. There's also going to be significant wind. It could be blowing sharks down Broadway. So you do have to...
Yeah, you do have to watch because it's going to be sharks everywhere. The best scene in the movie, though, is Manhattan is now flooding.
Okay.
And the cab is underwater. And they're standing on top of the cab, and they get a rope, and they swing over to safety. They swing over to safety, and the last guy can't swing over to safety, and the rope breaks, and now Ian Ziering is on the cab. surrounded by water and sharks, and he can't get to safety. So what does he do?
What does he do?
He says to Mark McGrath, hey, are we thinking the same thing? They both shout, Frogger! And then Ian Ziering steps on the backs of sharks, one after another, to safety.
Well, that could happen.
He walks across the sharks' backs to safety.
Frogger.
You know what you just did, don't you?
Don't say it.
Yep. Jump the shark.
Jump the shark.
Yeah!
Because he walked. He walked on the back of the sharks.
Come on!
So he just jumped the shark. So now the building that they're in, he tries to go up at the top of the building and throw a bomb. It's not quite strong enough. The building is being flooded with sharks as well.
It's still coming!
How is that possible?
It keeps going. This building's going to fill up like a fish tank.
Sophia's goldfish have big teeth.
Yeah! It's full of that kind of acting. And then Ian Ziering gives the speech of the night, where he has to calm down all of New York and take control.
All right, listen up. There's a storm coming. A storm the likes that you've never seen before. Now I'm going up there and I'm going to try and stop it. But there's going to be a lot of people down here that are going to need your help. I know you're scared. I'm scared too. They're sharks. They're scary. No one wants to get eaten.
Right.
But I've been eaten. And I'm here to tell you, it takes a lot more than that to bring a good man down.
Yeah!
A lot more than that to bring a New Yorker down.
Yeah! You gotta take off!
Let's go show them what it means to be a hero.
Yeah!
Let's go show them what it means to be a New Yorker.
Woo! Let's go kill some sharks! So that happens.
USA! Come on!
Why are you saying like you didn't enjoy this movie? Because this movie sounds awesome. It does sound awesome because I'm giving it to you in 5 minutes.
Okay.
It was 2 hours.
And felt like?
All day. It was a pretty long movie. There was a point where Ian Ziering got into the tornado, and so did the chainsaw, which was running.
Uh-huh.
And he found it and caught it.
Yes.
And sawed his way through a shark again.
That seems like a pretty lucky break.
And then...
I need a weapon.
What?
My TiVo cut off. I have no idea.
Oh, no.
So he could be dead for
it
all we
stopped.
Know.
You're kidding.
It said delete, don't delete. I was like, I'm assuming that everything worked out.
Well, we know there's a Sharknado 3, so I'm pretty sure they're coming back.
I didn't see the end. That was
oh my God.
A little problem. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes to late.
That's quite an entrance there, Ralph.
Ralph just flew in and pushed Lisa to the floor.
I actually saw smoke coming off of his legs there.
It was sweet.
Watching a Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Body blocked me.
Ralph, have you gotten a hot dog from Pink's yet?
No, I haven't had a chance because Kevin won't get out of the way.
How dare you?
Today apparently is National Chili Dog Day, which I did not know.
I've had four to celebrate.
Pink's is
he's
here.
He's been elbowing people to keep them away from the counter there.
L.A. Institution, Pink's is here. Been around 75 years, by the way, and they just brought in an unbelievable spread of hot dogs.
You have to tell me about Pink's, son.
I know.
Don't tell me about
Pink's.
No,
I know.
I used to live around the corner from Pink's.
Yeah.
Pink's was a buy-to-try weekly destination for me when I
Why
lived
is there
on
a line at
4
o'clock in the morning, Ralph?
Because it is not only an institution, but they're just such damn good hot dogs. I mean, people would go anyway because it's legendary and it's been around for 75 years.
Right, it's what you do when you come to town as a tourist.
It's
too.
As
it's
iconic
on the list.
As the Hollywood sign is when you come to L.A., but... they wouldn't go back if those damn dogs were
No, you're right
bad.
About that. And I'm having the vegan dog, which I know is an affront, a personal affront to you, and I know you hate me and want me
Why
to die.
Why bother? It's
great. It's the best vegan dog I've ever had in my life.
Put some sprouts on a bun and just eat that leave the rest of us alone.
This
would
is
you please?
Your weeds. Go buy Pink's today, by the way, and buy the USO dog with all the proceeds going to the USO, which is
yummy.
Exactly right. All right, Muggs, I know you want to get in there and eat as well.
I haven't even gotten one yet. He just said, you guys mind if I go get one? I was like, can you wait till show business is over?
You can handle that on your own.
Time for the beat, though. Here's Ralph.
Oh, time for the beat. Here's the thing that stuns me after all these years. A lot of celebrities come and go. We have big stars. who pass away, and for a red hot moment there, everyone's talking about them, and it's the big deal, whether it's Whitney Houston or anybody.
Yeah.
But eventually, in this world we live in, where we're always looking for the next thing, and there's a constant flow of information, those stories and those stars tend to fade. It's just the nature of the beast.
Life is for the living.
Elvis Presley.
Dead.
But has not faded, really, in the global consciousness at all.
Yeah. There are exceptions.
He's a phenomenon. He's one of them, yeah. And they just announced for the first time ever they're going to start building on the ground where Elvis's Memphis home, Graceland, is. They're building a hotel there, which I think is genius.
It is, and they should have done it 20 years ago.
They will make nothing but money at that place.
It's true.
450 rooms at a hotel called the Guest House, featuring two restaurants, spaces for meetings and events and conventions, a 500-seat live performance theater. This is going to make a mint.
Yeah.
Because you look at the people who go there every year on the anniversary of his death or his birthday, just lined up outside the gates, just worshiping at the shrine of Elvis Presley.
For hours and hours and hours.
Yeah, apparently they're breaking ground today, and it is going to be a big deal.
Do you think, Ralph, that young people discover Elvis Presley at some point and become fans as well, people who were born long after his death?
I know so. Yeah. I mean, I don't think so. I know so. If you look at the crowds outside Graceland on these events, you see tons of kids and teenagers and stuff. Obviously, it's not for everybody. It's not the primary music source that people are listening to. But there is a large, sizable, every generation seems to have a large, sizable Elvis Presley fan base.
I'll bet it has to do a lot with your parents. If your parents
sure,
are hardcore,
expose you to it.
Of course.
Of course, yeah. But I think some kids may even do it, you know, sort of backwards. They might find a Jack White or somebody who talks about the music scene in Memphis, and it leads you to that. It leads you to Elvis and to Carl Perkins and Jerry Lee Lewis and these artists. No, I mean, there's history there.
Kevin and I were having a conversation off air this week, and he was telling me how proud he is that his kids have never heard a song that was made before the year 2000.
Yeah, he's he only...
I didn't say that at all.
He only
roughly, though. That was
you, sir, are a liar.
Roughly, that was the gist.
He's got his kids dancing that Ebola song. That's the one they're
that is a good song.
With, yeah. Here's a lady in England who's in trouble because she changed her name to Skywalker. 29-year-old Laura Matthews is now Laura Skywalker. She changed her name back in 2008 because, wait for it, she thought it would be funny. That's a hell of a reason to change your name.
I love her.
She's been signing her name as L. Skywalker ever since.
Okay.
But now she can't travel anywhere. She can't leave the country because officials have rejected her passport application because they say she's using a copyrighted name.
But you could name a kid Skywalker.
She's not Luke.
I know.
She's Laura.
I mean, you can give somebody that name. They don't own it.
She said it's all my driver's license, my bank cards, everything, but they won't give her a passport because they say it's... It's a copyrighted name.
How about that?
So she's stuck now in the UK, which isn't a horrible place to be stuck, but she would like to travel.
I'm sure.
Now she can't.
Aww.
You know what she should do? Just wave her hand and say, these aren't the credentials you're looking for. just go wherever she wants. Just use the old Jedi mind trick. Today's celebrity birthdays. Mavericks owner Mark Cuban is 56 years old today. J.K. Rowling, the mom of Harry Potter, 49 years old. Wesley Snipes turns 52. Will Champion, Coldplay drummers, 36.
Not Private Eye?
Not a Private Eye. He should be a superhero of Private Eye.
Seriously?
With that name. Will Champion. BJ Novak, writer and actor, is 35. And Rico Rodriguez from Modern Family. He's Manny on that show, 16 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Dr. Drew this hour and more tickets for you to join us for our Breakfast with Arcade Fire, which should be happening on the radio tomorrow morning at this time from the Red Bull Sound Space, one of the biggest bands in the world. And tiny little place.
Not joking. Not joking now. How is the band going to fit on the stage?
I don't know. There's like nine of them.
It's
for reals.
Nine plus. When they tour, they have like 38 people.
I don't know how they're going to fit on the stage. I really don't. I think some of the band's going to have to be in the audience with the people watching the show.
Yeah.
I really know.
And playing.
Guys, how much do you miss football?
A lot.
Not at all.
Right?
Lisa, not at all.
Lisa,
not even
how
a little
dare
bit.
You? How much do you miss our good friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network and the host of DirecTV's The Red Zone, who's back on the air with us right now?
Well, I love Andrew.
Andrew!
Good morning, guys.
Hi, Andrew.
I missed you, too.
We so missed you.
I missed you more.
Where were you? Like at the top of Mount Kilimanjaro or something?
I did climb Mount Kilimanjaro like 2 weeks ago.
How'd that go?
It went, I survived. I'm here.
Yeah, he's alive.
Wasn't easy?
You know, the last day with the 4,000-foot altitude gain where you go from 15 to 19, that was not fun because it's step-step, breath, step-step, breath.
Really, and your steps are much smaller than an average-sized person.
I have tiny, massive feet and short legs. It doesn't make sense.
Well.
It's not Hobbit-like. Well, no, Hobbit have short feet and short legs, right?
Right, yeah.
I work feet.
No, they have big feet.
They have big feet.
Okay. It is Hobbit-like.
Okay. So then maybe I can't believe I'm doing this live on the radio. I have size 11 and a half feet, and I'm barely 5'7".
You're
so
a Hobbit.
Well, we were glad you survived, because a lot of people die on the tops of those tall mountains, you know? I mean, there's real danger.
I'm happy to be here.
Happy to have you. Now, Andrew, by the way, is going to be doing Inside Training Camp today from 1 till 4 on the NFL Network. Boy, you guys are covering a lot of training camp, a lot of hours of a day of training camp, isn't there?
We do 9 hours live today. That's not even including the morning show for 3, NFL AM, and then Total Access at 7. So you do the math. It's wall-to-wall, nonstop football.
What exactly is going on in training camp? I mean, I know they're doing drills and stuff, but 9 hours?
Yeah, so a lot of it, that's a great question, Kev. A lot of it we'll like show guys stretching.
And, yeah!
And we'll say...
And now an hour of stretching.
Here they are stretching. Your thoughts. and then... Actually, that's
Coach, does anybody stretch better than number 22?
20. Watch the way he really loosens up the hip flexor.
Right. See? There you go. There you
Which
go. All right.
Important.
Listen, Andrew, we got a couple things we got to ask you about, because even though it's been the off season, there have still been some things going on of real interest. Now, I don't think I'm just being a homer by bringing up the Seahawks first. I think a lot of people who are football fans are looking at this Marshawn Lynch holdout situation at the Seattle Seahawks not showing up for camp and going, hey, what's up? Can you explain the what's happening with that, Andrew?
At first, can I double back for a plug on Inside Training Camp Live? His fullback, Michael Robinson, you remember, right? He retired now. The guy that wore 24 in front of him last year.
Right.
Michael Robinson and I were doing Inside Training Camp Live together last week during a commercial. His phone rang. It was Marshawn. He spoke to him for 2 minutes, hung up, and then we came live on TV and said, that was Marshawn. He's not coming to camp tomorrow. He will hold out. So it's more than just stretching.
Yeah.
We have stories for you.
See,
well.
There you go.
You have a camera trained on not Marshawn Lynch.
Exactly.
Now, he's missed like 6 days so far, and the gist of it is that he signed a very valuable contract a couple of years ago, but now feels like, hey, we won the freaking Super Bowl. I want to renegotiate my contract. And so far, it looks like the Seahawks are saying, hey, you signed the contract. Live with it. Show up or don't.
He has very little leverage. The way the CBA is written, collective bargaining agreement, with each passing day that he doesn't show up, they could fine him more, and they could also actually take some of the prorated version of the signing bonus out of his contract this year if he were to show up.
So he could lose
money. We all know that won't happen when he shows up.
Right.
There is no way he's going to be, and he will be there week one. I will walk to your studio. If he is not, which is only like 3 miles, if he's not there week one, and he will be there week one with the Seahawks basically saying, we love you, we'll forget about the fine.
Are they going to renegotiate his contract, though? I mean, look, let's feel bad for Marshawn Lynch. He's expected to play for the next 2 years for only $13 million. A man can barely live on that.
Well, his base this year is roughly $5 million. He had $17 million paid out over the last 2 years. It was a five-year $31 million extension, something like that. He has been paid, but he also knows that he's 28, he's almost 29.
Right.
So when running backs hit 30, they pretty much fall off a cliff in this league. So he better get paid now. And this is what happens when you win the Super Bowl. People have their hand out. Richard Sherman got his money. Earl Thomas got his money. Russell Wilson will, a year from today, get his money. Mm-hmm. So Marshawn says, wait a minute, I carry the load here. Why don't I get paid? I kind of agree with him.
This is not out of the ordinary.
He doesn't have much leverage here unless he really wants to stay home. And if he does, then God bless you, but no one wants to see him retire.
Well, the Seahawks, and this is a Pete Carroll thing, are basically saying, look, it's a team sport. We love Marshawn. We wish he were here, but we're just going to continue with the plan and go on with someone else if he doesn't show up. That's all we're going to do.
Well, there's also bad precedent, too, if you just say, here's a brand new contract. Even though no one in that locker room would care if he did get a new contract, you can't really negotiate.
Right, gotcha.
They come to work, and then maybe we'll talk about that.
All right, moving on. Cleveland. Yeah. Is there a quarterback controversy?
Well, it's a fine controversy. There's a competition. Brian Hoyer is probably going to beat out Johnny Manziel because right now he's a better player. He's a veteran. He knows what the heck he's doing. And Manziel doesn't know what the heck he's doing. His million Twitter followers are great, and the fact that he can go into a supermarket or a bar and people follow him with cell phone cameras.
And doesn't he sell a ton of jerseys?
He is the number one selling jersey in the National Football League without ever having taken a snap in a game, fake or otherwise.
Now, why is that, Andrew? What possesses someone to go out and put their $80 down for a guy they've never seen play?
I can't imagine, but he has something about it. Look, he's the anti-Tebow. Remember all the hype for Tebow?
Yep.
Tebow was the choir boy, for lack of a better description. He was the guy that you bring home to meet your daughter. This guy is exactly the opposite.
Yeah, this guy is Roethlisberger-like, isn't he? I mean, rolling around in selfies and dollar bills. I mean, that's Johnny Football, right?
Well, look, Roethlisberger eventually got suspended for it. He had some things off the field that no one liked, and some things that were decidedly illegal, and people almost pressed charges. Look, that was ugly.
Right.
Hopefully, he doesn't run into that. But the Browns would certainly hope that he wins two Super Bowls like Ben Roethlisberger.
Right.
The difference is also is that Big Ben is a massive human being.
Yep.
He looks like a defensive lineman. Johnny Manziel looks like me.
Yeah,
right. He's barely 6 feet, only with shoes on.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Last question, and I know that I'm not trying to put you on the spot here. I know you might be limited because you obviously work for the NFL Network. But your thoughts on the 2-game suspension of Ray Rice, a guy who was not arrested, not charged, not convicted with anything, but still obviously a very uncomfortable and awkward situation with his wife.
It's uncomfortable and awkward and unfortunate above all else.
Absolutely.
For the wife and for Ray Rice above everything. The point that you made there about the legal system complicates the issue. And as much as people would like to see it more than 2 games, and I think in fairness, most people agree it should be, with the CBA, with other things, it's complicated with the fact that he's not serving any time, he's not charged with any crime right now.
Right.
I do think Ray Rice needs to be a little more forthright with the fans. The only time he's spoken about it was, I believe, on Memorial Day. It was a Friday during the summer, and they did a press conference, except no one was allowed to ask questions. And he read a response with his wife at his side, and that was the first time his wife even brought up the narrative that, well, this might be my fault as well, which made people cringe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ray Rice is about to meet the media in the next hour in Baltimore for the very first time. And I think we're all watching curiously to see how he handles it. No one can argue Ray Rice's record up to this unfortunate incident this spring. He has been Mr. Community in Baltimore,
right,
and Mr. Charity. All of those things speak for themselves. And people really were shocked that this is something that his family is going through. And he said that a couple of months ago. But I think people need to hear him speak from the heart and make it sound sincere, because he's a likable guy,
right?
Regardless of whether or not he got 2 games or 100 games.
And we don't know what the circumstances were of that fight. Obviously, they're trying to handle it together, and they're going to counseling, and she's standing by her man and everything. But there still is in no way is any kind of excuse for pulling a woman out of an elevator by her hair. That's clearly that was a breakdown.
And here's the other thing. There is allegedly a video from inside that elevator. We only saw the video when the doors opened and the aftermath. I'd be very curious to see the video inside.
I bet Solange is in it.
Well, see, you know, we were talking about that, too. And by the way, let me clarify for the 900th time. I'm not suggesting that we'll see something inside the elevator where we're going to say, oh, yeah, I get it now. No, that's not what I'm saying.
Right.
I'm saying then we'd see the full picture here.
Right, exactly.
And then maybe we can have a more informed conversation about this entire story.
It's ugly in every way.
Yeah, it's horribly ugly. Yeah. Well, we were joking. Yeah, the guy with the, the Jay-Z thing, that was, what, $250,000?
Yeah, that's right. The guy who released the tape, right, exactly, from the hotel. Yeah.
Elevator videos always come out.
All right. Inside training camp today from 1 till 4 on the NFL Network. Andrew, we're getting dangerously close to preseason. We're very excited. We can't wait. And we're looking forward to spending a lot of time with you over the upcoming year. Thanks so much for getting back on with us today. We enjoyed it, sir.
Love you guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 829.
We're not good. Right?
Right.
Truer words were never spoken.
We're not good. And if there is a defense, in our defense, we do 4.5 hours of live radio every day, and sometimes words don't come out the way that we hope they would. I mean, yesterday we had professional poker players on, and I asked about the players that count cards.
Yeah, right. you don't want that in poker. When they start counting those cards, they fly out of the shoe.
It was a dumb question.
It was dumb. Yeah. It was embarrassing. Right. There is no excuse for it.
It was ill-informed.
It was ill-informed, and I regret it, and I regret that it happened. And every once in a while, it's going to happen when you're – Ralph, I'm sure you've had – people blast you in the email if you accidentally –
get to me.
You accidentally get out of wrong fashion.
Absolutely. Happens all the time.
Can we cut to the chase and just get to me?
We're running late before we started this.
I don't even know what this is, but I know it's headed toward me, so let's do it.
At least sometimes you'll bring up a traffic story and you'll just have it wrong.
Sure, she has a
My point is we all make mistakes.
Right. Absolutely. We all occasionally have our problems.
None of us are above.
What did I do?
Who among us is without sin? Let he cast the first stone.
What did I do?
Having said all of that,
what
was going on with Kevin yesterday?
Wow.
Because yesterday was world class. Yesterday was a 10-0 soccer game. How did you do it?
You were
amazing. I don't know what you're referring to.
Well, I'm sure it was the all time.
You think it was the best day?
Yes,
I think so. I think it was your best day. Well,
really?
We'll let you decide.
I went home and I thought, pretty good.
We had a
maybe the part of the problem.
We pulled just a couple of items from yesterday's show. If you play clip number one for me.
Once again, just keep in mind, everyone listening, this is in
one day
broadcast day. Just
I think
this
they got it.
This isn't let's think of the top 10 Kevin moment for the year.
Okay.
This is one show yesterday.
They got it. Yeah.
I don't think so.
Not now. Yep. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:55.
Those days are gone.
Those days are way gone.
Yeah.
What, where Kevin cared?
All right. So that could happen to anyone, though, right? A song could run out. You could be busy.
Sure,
you could
miss it.
That's fine.
Happens.
All right. A few minutes later.
It's all coming up on K-Rock. First, let's talk about Donald Sterling. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that happened.
Your mic wasn't on, was it?
It was not.
All right. So
everybody
your
else's
own mic.
Ralph's mic. Bean's mic, Lisa's mic.
Yep.
The guy who's in charge of the mics.
Just not me.
Doesn't have his own mic on.
Yeah.
Then we're talking to Donald Sterling on the phone. And
in quotes.
This happens.
They sleep with every woman in every city.
No.
What?
Okay, you don't want to go back down
it's
that
not
path.
Not the NBA. He was talking specifically about Magic Johnson and that.
Oh, was he?
Yes.
I am he, first of all.
That's a good point.
And second of all.
Kevin, are you having trouble keeping this bed straight?
Do you need to lie down?
I need to lie next to you wherever you're lying down.
Yeah.
Because we played a clip of Donald Sterling.
Right. Say, but you're talking to Donald Sterling on the phone.
Right.
Talking. So he really made no
sense. So that
made
no sense
at all.
All right, again, this is all from yesterday.
I'm going to accept. That's my bad.
I think we're in the first hour at this point.
We're still the first hour.
How dare you?
Ralph comes in for his second showbiz beat of the day and gets off to a strong start, I think.
Not just showbiz news, but free stuff!
Yeah! Hot dogs on the bowling! What's going on?
Don't pot down my hot fudge holy moly.
Confused for a second. I was potting down your music, this music, so that you could play your music.
Uh-huh.
Then when you started it, the wrong one. Yeah, it was the wrong one. My heart's in the right place, Ralph.
I know it is. I know. I know you mean well. I know you got a heart as big as all outdoors.
How many...
Shut up, Bean.
I don't know how this game is played, but how many strikes till you're out?
I would like to say this in my own defense.
Yes.
Because I run the controls, I do have 100 times the chances of you guys of making a mistake. I could make a mistake. I mean, you guys don't push nearly as many buttons.
That's true.
I agree. Okay. I agree with that. But
having said that, I'm terrible at it.
At some point, maybe you shouldn't be the guy.
Well,
okay. All right. Speaking of that, now we're playing another hot hit here on K-Rock.
There's more?
And then this happens.
That song ends before it says on the thing it's supposed to end. I swear
Come
to God.
Come on, Kevin.
No, there's a clock on there, and it tells me when a song's ending, and that one ended before.
You know what some people do? 20 seconds before the end of the song, they get up, and they put their headphones on, and they get in front of the microphone.
Well, that was fun. We got Dr. Drew coming up next.
No.
What?
If that was all that happened, it would still be a terrible day of work, right? Uh-huh. It would still be bad broadcasting. We're not done yet. Now we're talking to the kid from the Unlocking the Truth band that we had on. The 12 and 13-year-old just signed a big record deal, very popular, up-and-coming, played Coachella.
Yes.
So we got them on the phone, and Kevin's trying to help promote their upcoming gig.
Malcolm and the band, Unlocking the Truth, will be playing in town, by the way. You can see them at the Troubadour this Friday.
Wow.
At the Troubadour this Friday. If you want to buy tickets, you can get them at ticketfly.com.
Not this Friday.
Yeah, the tickets go on sale, I think, this Friday, Kevin. The show is Saturday, September the 13th.
That's which is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
How many clips you still want? Three more clips.
Seriously.
How many mistakes are you going to make? We have that many clips.
That we're talking Sharknado.
Dear God.
This happens.
We were at Comic-Con. We had Iron Zierling. Am I saying that right? Sorry.
Zierling.
Come on now.
Zierling? But at some point, you should know who Iron Zierling is after having just interviewed him again.
We did talk to him, yeah.
That said his name a lot.
Yeah.
Then we're playing
playing
the Arctic Monkeys, I think, that this happens.
Latest from the Arcade Monkeys. Sorry, it's not the Arcade Monkeys at all, is it? Not even close to the Arcade Monkeys.
You are bringing it.
By the way, that's a good band.
Arcade Monkeys. You can
sure
try to steal that.
That's the Arctic Monkeys. Shut up, beer mug. Need your help.
The honest conversation that went on when I was driving home, my wife was like, how was the show today? And I said, I was pretty bad.
And she tried to be as supportive as she is. And she's like, I'm sure it was fine. Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't know. I think
better than fine.
I just feel like we're getting dangerously close to Make-A-Wish territory, don't you guys?
I think Kevin is doing exactly as well as anyone might have expected someone like him to perform in a position like that.
All right.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
There's not a single word of that.
No, I'm sure we got all the details of that disclaimer. That sounds perfectly legal.
What the hell?
Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us every Thursday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, the co-host of Loveline and Dr. Drew on call on HLN. Today, we're going to be talking to him about what this news report is about, the fire challenge.
Firefighters across the country are warning parents about a disturbing new trend. Teens dousing themselves in alcohol, lighting themselves on fire, and then posting it on social media.
Yeah, Bill, Lauren, teens are treating this like a game, but this is serious stuff. This YouTube video shows a young man standing in a shower, dousing himself with what appears to be rubbing alcohol before setting himself ablaze.
I think it's crazy. Kids shouldn't be lighting themselves on fire.
Now let's guess before we go to the doctor on the phone.
All right.
Is Dr. Drew going to be for it or against it, do you think?
I think he's going to really be a strong supporter.
I think he's going to like it, too. How about you, Lisa?
Maybe just in the thinning of the herd mentality.
Doctor?
I like Lisa's thinking. I really do. But it sort of goes down with raising your feet when you sleep. I'm not so into it.
We don't need the people, though, that want to set themselves on fire to put on YouTube. We don't need those people. It's not like they're going to turn their lives around and contribute meaningfully to the world, right?
You know, I've spent enough time with Corolla now that I've sort of adopted those kinds of attitudes. But as a clinician, as a physician, I'm sorry. I can't go down that path.
But that guy in the shower that's pouring rubbing alcohol on himself, setting him on fire, he's not going to cure cancer.
If you see the pictures, unfortunately, this is radio. You got to look at this on YouTube. Not only is he lighting himself on fire, he explodes and ends up in the hospital.
Yeah. Oh, I don't mind.
And the infinite wisdom of these kids, of course, they've got their underwear on.
Yeah.
That, of course, lights completely on fire.
Sure.
And that's where they get their big burns from.
Ouch.
Now, when you say you got to look at this on YouTube, does that make us part of the problem by rewarding this bad behavior, by making them more popular because we see the videos?
Yeah, that's the great yes. Thank you for pointing that out, Bean. Appreciate that. But the fact is, when we ask ourselves, what are they doing? So this is the lengths that young people are going to get likes and click-throughs and views and be popular and be, quote, famous. What's next? That's what I'm wondering. It's like the Bugs Bunny and Donald Duck. You know, Daffy Duck. They're going to like take nitroglycerin and swallow a match.
Hold on, hang on. Swallow nitroglycerin.
Doctor, is it easy to blame social media though when kids were doing dumb things to entertain their friends long before there was an internet?
Let's be really clear here. Not kids, young males. Young males.
Yeah.
You don't see women doing this.
Yeah,
Lisa,
that's true.
Bring me up with this. You see chicks doing this?
No.
Never.
It's all dudes.
It's all dudes. And so you have to ask yourself, well, what is that? Why does that happen? And there's a number of reasons for that. One is the whole sort of jackass phenomenon is the result of young males trying to prove their genetic prowess. In other words, watch me make this fall, and hey, I can survive that. I'm genetically superior. It's a way of attracting, believe it or not, at least on some sort of weird primitive evolutionary way, attracting females. The other thing is that when you're from about the age of 13, and again, in the case of the young males, about the age of 25, and the female, it's more like 20, 21, the frontal lobes, where our executive judgment is, our ability to contain impulses, our ability to predict consequences into the future, that whole frontal lobe area shuts down for remodeling for about 10 years. It just shuts down. And that puts the adolescent, that's why they're so into extreme and thrilling behaviors, their primary motivational system, it generates from an area called the amygdala, which is an area that sort of just responds or is driven by novelty.
That's interesting.
All right, I don't know what you're saying. But what I think about these guys is that we won't miss them.
Well, we're back to that again.
Yep.
Kevin, you can say that with great ease.
Look, I am an idiot, and I did everything stupid when I was a kid. Did I light myself on fire on purpose? No, of course not.
It's interesting, though, because they see other people doing, and maybe they're goaded on by their friends or whatever to try it. But in their mind, there's no possible downside. Like, they don't even think for a moment, hey, there's a chance this could go horribly wrong and I could end up in the hospital with third-degree burns, right?
I think you're right. There's a contagion. Again, you sort of see other people doing it, and why can't I do it? I think there's a thought that there's some risk, but hey, it's me. There's the other layer to this sort of phenomenon of young males doing this is they have a sense of invincibility.
Yeah, that's true.
And again, the wisdom hasn't quite yet developed, and so yes, they're right. What lights on fire is the alcohol vapors, and yet there's a tiny layer between the flame and the skin where steam or the sort of water vaporizes and becomes steam, and that's what burns the skin. And then, of course, the underpants would catch on fire. And by the way, burning their junk.
Right.
You do not want your underwear on fire.
No, if you pointed that out to them, I think that would stop them. Somehow that's an area they can protect without.
Have you been able to get any of these guys on the HLN show yet, Doctor?
No, we have. We're looking, though, because was that our footage from last night you just aired?
I don't think so.
Well, we had a similar, we obviously aired the story and we talked about it with lots of our lovely experts. But we have not spoken to these young males
yet. Play that other clip of when the thing goes up on fire, because that's pretty amazing. Dr. Drew on call, by the way, on HLN Monday through Friday nights at 6 o'clock. I think you should make Catherine Wood do it, too. All right, listen to this.
Oh! No! No! Get out of the water! Get out of the water!
Get out of the water!
Get out of the water!
Take your shorts out!
Take them out! Get out! Get out! Get out! Get out!
That is good dialogue.
You guys are brutal.
That sounds
masochist, sadist.
That sounds
but
so funny.
There's a part you can't see, which is they're dutifully in the shower when they light themselves. All these videos, these guys in the shower, and what's the first thing they do when they light themselves on fire? Is jump out of the
get
shower.
Out of the shower quick. we're not going to miss them.
All right, Dr. Drew on the Love Line, of course, 5 nights a week on K-Rock and the fine family of Dr. Drew podcast at lovelineshow.com, drdrew.com, podcast. You know what I'm saying. Thanks, Doc. Always a pleasure.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55. Congratulations to Elizabeth Gustafson from Los Angeles.
She was on Fargo, right? She was on that show Fargo.
Not Elizabeth, but just Elizabeth.
Okay.
She's going to be at our breakfast with Arcade Fire, which is tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock hour.
Yes, definitely be listening if you're not going to be lucky enough to be there. Director James Gunn from a film called Guardians of the Galaxy joins us right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is here with the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
This Bieber menace must be stopped.
Now what?
Agreed. I'm in. Let's do it.
You know, after Orlando Bloom took a swing at him and he ran out of the restaurant like a biatch.
Yep.
Then he immediately posts a picture of Bloom's ex, Miranda Kerr, in a bikini.
Right.
As if to gloat and say, I've been there. Ha
right.
ha.
You're not allowed to act like the winner when you run away from a swing.
Right. Then we found out today he posted also a picture on his Instagram account of Orlando Bloom looking like he was crying. Looks like he was rubbing something out of his eye. Paparazzi took a picture of him, but it looks like you could easily interpret it as him crying. He posted that picture up.
Yeah.
He is just a little bitch.
He really is, and he hides behind his security and runs away.
And then, like, taunts with pictures on his Instagram
account. As long
Instagram
as it's
account.
From a distance.
He's a little child. He's a little immature child.
By the way, Orlando Bloom, not that menacing.
No, that's true.
Square, I'll take your chances.
Once. If you're going to take your chances, Orlando Bloom is your guy. I
absolutely.
Think. A little slight.
If you could choose someone to be in a bar fight with,
right.
It would be Orlando Bloom.
They're approximately, I would guess, around the same weight class. It would seem like a fair fight. You know, put up pictures.
What,
isn't he like 20 or something?
He's 20, yes.
He's acting like a little kid.
Orlando Bloom is 36 also. This doesn't make him look that good.
No, I don't blame Bloom for a
he should have thrown the punch.
Minute. He should have landed the punch.
Yeah, I only blame him for missing with the punch.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody's saying, oh, good for Orlando Bloom. No, bad for him. He missed.
Well, we got to get some sort of a mob and torches and just storm the...
Let's go to Beverly Hills where his condo is and
right.
just...
I'm not sure that's the best
idea. Burn the
mother
down. Burn the mother down is what I'm saying.
Let's get a posse together, Ralph.
What's a gallon of gas these days? $5?
Sure.
$5 well spent. So I'm saying, just torch it. Just scorched earth policy. That's where I'm going.
Yeah.
And then deport him. What's left of him?
What's left of him? Put the ashes.
Deport the ashes.
The ashes in a coffee can. Dear Canada, take it back.
Hey, CBS.
Would you like to take it back?
CBS attorneys, we are in no way advocating violence against Mr. Bieber or anyone.
Or arson, for that matter.
For reals.
It's
just,
all,
just so you know.
It's all hilarious.
It's all theater of the mind.
Pranks, that's right.
But do it.
One Direction. They are invading MetLife Stadium in New Jersey on Monday and Tuesday of next week. The ticket holders were just sent out a very detailed list via email of do's and don'ts for the sold-out shows. Keep in mind, this is where the Jets and the Giants play.
Right.
This is like 100,000 seats, including on the field. That's sold out for this band.
Wow.
Here are the some of the more interesting rules you have to play by if you go to see One Direction. Guests over 34 inches tall must have their own ticket. So Chip can go for free.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
Which is great. I guess they're saying little babies can go in if you want. You are not allowed to bring in food contained. You are allowed to bring food in a clear plastic bag. So if you bring a baggie of food, you're okay.
Okay.
No alcoholic beverages. Well, you can imagine that. But this is my personal favorite. You are not allowed to bring in model planes, kites, or drones.
Does that happen?
I've never seen a drone at a
concert?
Concert.
That's weird.
Or a kite, for that matter.
Who's flying a kite?
Or a model plane. What kind of fans does this band have?
Who's making a model plane at a show?
Drone problems out there?
Maybe
sending drone strikes?
Maybe on the West Coast it's beach balls, and maybe on the East Coast it's model planes.
That doesn't make sense.
I don't know.
Anyway, let's talk about some real music. Foo Fighters have finished their album. That's what producer Butch Vig tweeted yesterday. The finished product is epic, in Butch's words.
When do we get it? When does it come out?
It comes out November.
Oh.
We have to wait till November until we get it. In October, however, we'll get to see the band putting the album together. This is the project where Dave and the boys traveled around the country to various studios all over the U.S. and then had local guest musicians laying down their parts in each city as they went around. So the series on HBO called Foo Fighters Sonic Highways will premiere in October, so I guess we'll be hearing some of the music before we even get it on discs.
I have a clip if you'd like to hear some now.
There's a leak of the new Foo Fighters already?
Yeah, it's online.
Oh, you're kidding.
You haven't seen this?
No.
New Foo Fighters. Foo Fighters.
Love to hear it.
Ebola. Don't touch a friend.
No touching. No eating something dangerous.
Ebola.
I like it.
Ebola.
Don't touch a friend.
No kissing. No eating something dangerous.
No kissing, no eating something.
They are really expanding their sound on this
new album.
They
really are. It doesn't sound at all like Dave Grohl.
Back to you, Come on, Ralph. We're having fun.
We're just playing around, man. Come on. We're still friends.
Should not have that second Pink's hot dog.
Yeah.
I'm getting a feeling in my stomach, and I think it's from you guys.
Yeah. How dare you?
Yeah. How good were those Pink's hot dogs, by the way?
They were good.
So
yummy.
Good. I haven't had a hot dog in a long time, and that is the best veggie dog I've ever had. I got to give a big ups
to
that.
Best veggie dog. It's like, that's the best kick in the nads I've ever
no,
had.
No, well, it's
the other
really
good.
Good.
This is a really good
it's
kick really, in the nads.
Look, Bean is the Justin
linger.
Bieber of our show.
He
no,
really is.
I understand why you say that, because most veggie dogs and veggie patties suck. That's why I was so impressed with how flavorful this one was. Really good.
We're on the sausage hunt right now.
See? And we had one.
Today's celebrity birthday is Mavericks owner Mark Cuban is 56 years old. Author J.K. Rowling is 49. Wesley Snipes turns 52 today. Will Champion, drummer for Coldplay, is 36. Actor-writer B.J. Novak's 35. And Rico Rodriguez from Modern Family plays Manny on that show. He is 16 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It is finally here this weekend. The movie we didn't know we needed has turned out to be one of everybody's favorite films of the year. It's Guardians of the Galaxy.
So here we are. A thief. Two thugs. Assassin and a maniac. But we're not going to stand by as evil wipes out the galaxy. I guess we're stuck together. Partners.
Are you telling me the fate of 12 billion people is in the hands of these criminals?
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Writer and director of Guardians of the Galaxy, James Gunn, joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Mr. Gunn, welcome, sir.
Hey,
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Very good, great. Thank you so much for joining us. I know what an insane few weeks you've had as we lead up to the movie. How are you feeling now that the movie is just about here?
You know, I'm feeling pretty calm, actually. It's been a long, arduous road. I haven't done much but make this movie for the past 2 years, and I just got back. I was in, you know, Mexico, and before that, and, you know, in Singapore, and traveling all over for the film. But everybody everywhere seems to respond positively, and that's, you know, for a filmmaker, that's about the best thing you can expect.
I can't imagine having to do that travel schedule that you just said, and most people not accepting your movie as being good. I'm sure that happens to a lot of directors.
You know, I keep thinking that, you know, I'm on this press junket now, and one, you know, you sit in these rooms with one guy after the other coming in and asking you the same questions over and over again.
Right.
But the difference is that this time they keep coming in, and then they look at me either before or after, and they go, oh, my God, I love the movie. It was so fun. And I go, and I'm kind of a negative guy in certain ways. And so I'm going, oh, my God, this has just ruined every other press junket I ever did and every other one. Now I know you guys hated all my other films.
That's right. That's right. Now, I mentioned it's the movie none of us knew we needed because there were very few people besides hardcore comic book geeks who were out there even aware of Guardians of the Galaxy, much less expecting it to be made a movie. Was this a project that had to be introduced to you from day one as well, James?
No, I'm a big Marvel comic book fan, and so I knew the Guardians of the Galaxy. I liked the Guardians of the Galaxy. It wasn't like I thought before this, you know, before Marvel brought it to me, it wasn't like I thought, oh my God, I got to make a Guardians of the Galaxy movie. But once they brought it to me and I thought about it for a little bit, I wanted to create a movie that was, you know, wasn't necessarily like the movies I loved as a kid, like Raiders of the Lost Ark and, you know, Star Wars and things like that, but a movie that made people feel like those movies made me feel as a kid.
It looks like there are some real challenges, though. Again, having not seen the movie yet, it looks like there are challenges of having things like, you know, a talking raccoon and a talking tree. I mean, those things as a filmmaker are tough to make work.
Yeah, well, it's tough to make work from a practical standpoint. I mean, the visual effects of it. But I think as a storyteller, it really was about, as silly as this sounds, when I said, oh, my God, there's a talking raccoon at the center of this. I mean, that came to me when the project came to me. I'm like, if you have a raccoon in the movie that's talking, then you have to have a reason. You have to make it as realistic as possible. And so it's really about grounding that raccoon as a real character. And in an original script, he was sort of this cartoon in the middle of the rest of the movie. And for me, the raccoon is really this mangled little Dr. Moreau creature, you know?
We're grown-ass adults having a conversation right now about how to make a talking raccoon more realistic. This is happening in real life.
Yeah, this is what I've come to. But I love it. I love the raccoon. The raccoon's my favorite part of the movie.
A lot of people were stunned when the announcement was made that Parks and Rec's chubby old Chris Pratt was going to be playing this character. But by all accounts, he's the greatest superhero ever. What a transformation he has made, both physically and with the kind of acting that we've never seen him do before, right?
Yeah, they brought Sarah Finn, who was the casting director, kept putting Chris Pratt and his picture in front of me as a casting choice for Star-Lord. And I kept saying, you know, the chubby guy from Parks and Rec, are you kidding me? That's a terrible idea for a superhero. And I even refused to see him for a long time, and then she somehow snuck him into a meeting with me.
Wow.
And I met, and this is the God's honest truth. He started auditioning, and within 20 seconds, I knew that he was the guy. And I had seen probably, or, you know, Sarah had seen probably over 150 people. We had screen tested over 20 people. And I mean everybody, A-list movie stars, you know, no names. And Chris was just, he was just a guy. And he was so good that for me, I was like, even if he stays chubby, he's still going to be a better superhero than everybody else we've been having audition.
How do you keep 150 different performances straight? They almost start looking the same.
Well, they don't look, every person is different. You know, and some people come in and do a good job. A lot of people come in and are so nervous they can't even do a good job. That's the thing when you're making a Marvel movie. It's, you know, first of all, I have a lot of friends who are pretty well-known actors, and you can have people come in who, you know, are your friends, and they're auditioning for you, and they're A-list movie actors, and their hands are shaking in front of you because it's such a big deal to be cast in one of these movies. And it's about the most uncomfortable part of this entire process.
You say to them, yeah, I'll call you back. Yeah. Yeah, no worries.
I have to tell you, I can't think of a series of movies that have been of such high quality as this batch of Marvel movies over the past few years. I mean, it's just, you don't ever want to be the director who blows the streak, right? Because as great as all of these have been recently.
Well, you know, I like some of them better than others, and I think overall the quality is amazing, and some of them are really amazing. I think Cap 2 was great. I think the first Iron Man was great. Avengers is great. And so it's really about, you know, but I think what Kevin Feige has done, who's the head of Marvel, is just taken what was done in the Marvel comic books for so many years and created the shared universe, which has been a completely different way of, you know, approaching cinema, really. And it just works so well because the Marvel comics as a kid worked so well, and now we have the technology to achieve in film what we were always able to do in you know, print.
And how gratifying is it for you as a comic book geek, James, to grow up and now not only be making these movies, but have Oscar winners and Oscar-nominated actors just lined up to be in them? Like, in your film, you've got John C. Reilly, and you've got Josh Brolin, you've got Glenn Close, you've got Jaimin Hansu, you've got Benicio Del Toro, Bradley Cooper. I mean, it's unbelievable the caliber of actors that want to do these films now because they're great.
Yeah, yeah. No, that is, to me, having my pick of, you know, actors who I admire so greatly, like Benicio Del Toro, he's definitely a hero to me, and have him act in my movie, and then even more to have him come and sit next to us, you know, at the premiere and just be, you know, giggling like a schoolboy at everything that happens on screen. That's one of the greatest feelings you can have as a filmmaker, is just, you know, being able to share with your fellow artists and people you admired as you know, when you were younger, you know, something that you do.
Last question from me for James Gunn, writer and director of this weekend's Guardians of the Galaxy. It's already been announced that the sequel's coming out in just now, under 3 years from now. When do you have to actually start working on it?
I'm working on it already.
Yes!
I've already started, you know, plotting it out, figuring out what's going to happen. There's a lot of unanswered questions in the first one, and so I'm trying to deal with some of that stuff. And I've had ideas about the second one since, you know, I pretty much started the first one. I didn't, you know, I was making a group of characters that could go on and on and on.
And when do you start the third one?
That one they got to make another contract for. We'll see.
All right. Congratulations, James. We know it's going to be great. We can't wait to see us this weekend. We really do appreciate you coming on the show today.
I appreciate it too, guys. Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:42.
Did we just give away yet another pair of tickets for Arcade Fire?
Yep.
Because it's tomorrow, is what I'm saying. We're still giving away tickets.
Ralph Carmona from Los Angeles.
Ralph Carmona.
8 o'clock tomorrow morning, right here on K Rock.
Ralph Carmona.
Breakfast with Arcade Fire. Right now, Ralph is here for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I don't like other people using my name, by the way.
Yeah.
A lot of people named Ralph.
Aren't really.
There aren't?
No. That's a nice thing. It's sort of unique. You don't meet a lot of Ralphs every
day.
Are there any
famous people named Ralph?
A ton. Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Okay.
Ralph Waite, the dad from the Waltons.
That's the one that came to mind, all right?
Yeah.
You're out.
Ralph Sampson, famous basketball player.
Nope.
Bluegrass legend Ralph Stanley?
Ralph Stanley, bluegrass legend.
Right.
Ralph Stanley.
Okay.
All I know Ralph from is throwing up. It means throwing up.
Stop it.
That's all I know.
Ralph's supermarket chain.
All right. On number five, we're down to Ralph's supermarket chain.
I don't know if there's that many.
Ralph Wiggum.
Ralph Wiggum from The Simpsons.
From the Simpsons?
Famous character, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Ralphie from A Christmas Story.
There's a character's name in a movie,
yeah.
But
you want famous people named Ralph?
Yeah, I was talking about actual real life celebrities.
Ralph Fiennes. I don't care how he pronounces it.
That's true.
It is spelled Ralph.
That's how it's spelled.
All right.
Ralphie May.
Ralphie May.
Ralphie May. Very good, Mugs.
Beer Mug's good at this game.
Wow, he really is. All right, I'm impressed. All right, here's one of the famous Ralphs with the showbiz.
Yes, probably the most famous Ralph. Ralph Lauren.
I think
famous
that game's...
fashion designer.
I'm pretty sure that game's over.
Oh, sorry. Kevin's in a hurry to take a nap, so we all have to speed up our game now.
I didn't know there was a timer. I didn't know
we're
racing the clock, apparently.
Sharknado 2 debuted last night.
Yes.
Just telling you.
Oh, you got ratings for us?
I don't have any ratings for you, no, but I bet it was huge. The reason I bring it up is because the people at AccuWeather have done a little scientific research to let you know whether a Sharknado is possible or not.
Oh, good. I wonder what their answer
is. They've done
the
work. Turns out Sharknado is more myth than fact.
What?
Yeah, for several reasons. One, they say, in the film, sharks are swept up in a tornado and threaten people on land. A tornado would not have the ability to sweep up marine life because tornadoes originate over land.
Well, they're Debbie Downer, aren't they?
If a shark got sucked up out of the water with the same sort of weather system, it would be known as a waterspout. It would not be a tornado. It would be a waterspout. Except waterspouts also couldn't sweep up sharks out of the water either. So
They're saying.
I wonder what Ralph Macchio thought about the movie last night.
Ralph Macchio! Mr. Dunn. He's probably the most famous Ralph.
Got to be, right?
Yeah, I think so. Global warming directly caused this event to occur in the movie. Climate change could cause such an event to occur, but it would have to continue exponentially for hundreds of years before the conditions would be created.
It is weird that it happened twice in basically one calendar
That's
year.
That's kind of what they're saying, yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but are you still having scientists refute Sharknado?
Kevin has no time for any of my shenanigans.
No, I'm just saying. Today.
We can't play the Ralph
game.
We can't talk about Sharknado.
You could have come to me for that, and I could have told you fiction.
Is your car already running?
No, I'm fine.
Because I see you've got
nothing but time.
That really? Little Latin guy taking your luggage out.
You are leaning towards the door.
I don't have a Latin guy. I wish I did.
Bieber is a dick.
Yeah.
He almost got into a fight with, he didn't almost get into a fight. Orlando Bloom threw a punch at him in Ibiza this week. And now, in retribution, Bieber seems to be going nuts on Instagram. Well, that really is the most courageous way to take someone on, Justin Bieber, is to crawl back into your mansion and start Instagramming threats to people.
Grade A douche.
First, after the altercation, he Instagrammed a photo of Miranda Kerr in a bikini. See, what he's trying to do there is rub it in because Allegedly he had some sort of romantic fling with Orlando Bloom's ex-wife, and that's what the whole thing was over.
Mm-hmm.
Now he is Instagramming a photograph of Orlando Bloom where it appears as if the 37-year-old movie star is crying in the photo. And so,
okay. So
there, he told him. He taught him a thing or two. We were talking in the other room about this. Is it going to happen? Eventually, will it happen? Will Justin Bieber get his ass beat?
I think so. He's going to be without that security.
But he's always surrounded by that security team. They're like NFL size.
They are huge.
Linemen, big. And I don't know if he'll ever actually get his comeuppance.
Orlando Bloom almost connected with him, right?
Yeah, the minute that scuffle happened, they came in and
he doesn't miss.
Bieber ducked behind him and they moved on. Yeah, I know. I hear you.
I don't know.
I'm just saying.
I'm 19 years old. I think I'm doing a pretty good job.
Right.
So then Dave the King of Mexico was rooting for some sort of overdose.
I'd be fine with that as well.
To which I said, yeah, as long as it results in death.
Right.
And Dave said, no, he just wants him to get a scare.
What?
It's too late for scares, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We need the final solution.
We do.
Yeah.
This week, if possible.
So we got to figure out how Bieber's going to go. Start a pool. And sorry to say that Weird Al Yankovic is no longer at the top of the charts.
He must be very sad.
He had a good week last week in his debut, with Mandatory Fun being at number one of the Billboard album charts. But this week, it's 5 Seconds of Summer. New band from Australia. They're another teen dream band. Yeah,
If One Direction is too old for you, 5 Seconds of Summer is what you're right.
They sold over 250,000 copies. Of
That's a lot these days.
That is a lot. But can you imagine their excitement when they're like, yeah, we knocked our Weird Al off the top of the charts. Didgeridoo, boomerangs, pandas, no, koalas.
They just yell Australian stuff?
Yeah, they just yell Australian stuff. They must be so
Weird Al Yankovic.
That's right.
While we're talking albums, Foo Fighters have finished their new album. Butch Vig tweeted that yesterday. He finds it, in his words, epic. It'll be out in November, which is very exciting, and you get to see a series about making the album on HBO this fall in October called Foo Fighters Sonic Highways, where they take to the roads of the U.S. and recorded this album all over the country. Sounds fascinating. I'm looking forward to it.
Don't say it, Kevin. I see you over there.
No, we don't have any more Foo Fighters.
We don't have any.
Oh, who's in a hurry now?
We don't have a clip. We're all full up on suck today.
I have a clip of the Foo Fighters.
No, you don't.
If it's the Ebola song, I'm going to come around.
That's fine.
And I'm going to kick you in the nads.
Here it is. A little more experimental for the boys.
Wow.
This is a different direction for Dave.
This is my favorite part.
So you can see they're doing something very different.
It's nice that Dave and Courtney Love have buried the hatchet and they asked her to sing on that track. A lot of people asking, is there a Hollywood Babylon this weekend?
Hey, Ralph.
Sorry to
interrupt. Mm-hmm. Is there a Hollywood Babylon this weekend?
Not this weekend. No, I just want to let people know. And not this weekend. We're going to be filming our pilot for the TV version of Hollywood Babylon this weekend. So we're going to be a little busy. But next weekend, it's all Babble all the time. Friday night at the 8 and 10 o'clock shows at the Improv on Melrose. 8 o'clock, we're doing our the third issue of Batman Meets the Green Hornet. We're going to read that out loud and do our live stage reading of that comic book. And then at 10 o'clock, we will be doing Hollywood Babylon. So if you'd like to go, go to improv.com and check it out and get your tickets there. But no Babble this weekend. Today's celebrity birthdays. Mavericks owner Mark Cuban is 56 years old today. J.K. Rowling is 49 years old. Wesley Snipes turns 52. Will Champion, Coldplay drummer, 36. B.J. Novak turns 35. And Rico Rodriguez from Modern Family plays Manny on that show. He's a talented guy, 16 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Beer Mug, you're going to be someplace today, and you're going to do it with music?
Absolutely. You ready? Hit it, Steve. All my man and all my frau, come on down and take a bow. To the outlets at Orange from 1 to 3. If you want tickets, do not spare. Show up early, don't be late. Do it for Deutschland in the Master Race.
Was that an attempt at a German accent?
I believe it was.
Wow, that was frightening. What my esteemed Aryan friend is trying to say is join K-Rock today from 1 to 3 at the Hot Topic store in Orange. At the outlets at Orange, you can get tickets to Shoreline Jam, Bastille, the 1975 Knott's Berry Farm, and more. You can go to any Southern California Hot Topic location to pick up the brand new K-Rock sticker, register to win a 2014 Dodge Challenger. Go to K-Rock.com for details.
He was reading from a piece of paper and threw it to the ground like he just nailed it.
He just walked off stage.
Yeah.
His mom must be so proud of him thinking about the Master Race, right. By the way.
Totally.
I'm sure your whole family, Beer Mug, is thrilled about your hilarious Master Race comment.
Tomorrow morning, a brand new Kevin and Bean show. We've got the movie beat because it's Friday. We have a brand new internet roundup. And we have breakfast with Arcade Fire.
Woo!
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.